Good afternoon. Today is July 3rd, 2013. And I'm thinking, Dr. Tolliver, that from now on we should say what number work session this is. This is our 85th, you know, whatever. I think it just will make us. So I think what we're going to do is look at a couple of special. Specifically, we have a list of a couple of text amendments that we wanted to make sure we hit, and then we could maybe circle back around to make sure that others have been resolved. So we have a request to start with CE, the CECLI. And I don't know if you can. Oh, great.
Is it brand new? Is it Alfred or Orem?
1001 Washington Boulevard. That's you, right?
Or is it me? Is it my new McDonald's, my brand new one?
Well, yeah, click it.
Truck ran into it.
Truck ran into it.
I know.
That's giving me the wrong Zoom. Location. No, okay. This is Google. This is Apple Maps. I'll get it. I'll
well, you
it.
May want to ask. So do you,
yeah.
All right, so do you want to go ahead and, I mean, if we're talking about flex space, he's going to want to. Can you turn the microphone on?
I thought maybe we would start with flex space because a lot of what we have in CE is flex space, and then we could go to the chart, which allows for a broader range of uses. The flex space issue has also been of concern to some in the in Newtown. Earl Adams, on behalf of the Independent Business Association, has been expressing concern about flex being too flexible. And I've marked up what I think reflects a response to his concerns. And in Newtown, areas that are employment industrial are allowed to use M1 uses, which include flex space. And we've had a lot of difficulty over off of parts of Snowden River Parkway in Dobbin, where what was originally an industrial park, Ceiling Industrial, Guilford Industrial, where over time what was flex space intended for a variety of employment uses have been converted to a variety of more retail-oriented uses, which then competes with the village centers and was not really what the intent was. And we, as you know, are hoping that we will end up with modifications with some kind of CR, commercial redevelopment zone. And what we're trying to do is not have the flex space turn into strip centers. It's not really intended that those all be little retail centers, that most of the retail energy would be directed towards the better located sites that we've identified as CR. So let me try and explain what their concerns were. And it's almost all language in red because the existing definition of flex is mostly deleted. So we talk about it being a building that's designed with three or more bays to accommodate businesses of varying size with modular bays capable of being used for a variety of. They object to the word commercial because commercial is often used to refer to retail as well as office, and the intent is not to be retail. So we're going to delete that, and we'll come back later on in the other issues to be clearer.
So delete and replace it with?
That's what I'm going to say. A variety of uses, including office, research and development, light manufacturing, what we're calling service agencies. If you look in the definition section, we didn't call them service businesses. We called them service agencies. And it's essentially it's the support industry. It's attorneys and accountants and printing service, secretarial support services. It's a variety of insurance, things like that, so that they are supporting service agencies. as well as storage and accessory sales is a term, again, that was of concern. What does accessory, is in terms of the term sales, so we're proposing the alternate language that I've scratched in there at the top, which would say accessory storage and sales related to the principal business. So if my business is to be selling, producing some kind of electronic component, and I am able to sell some to people who may come in, most of it I'm shipping out to my customers elsewhere, incidental sales, accessory sales are fine, but it's not intended to be primarily a sales business. And then it goes on, all principal activities of the various uses shall be conducted wholly within an enclosed building, and accessory outdoor storage may be conducted as permitted by these regulations. Flex buildings have rear loading only and generally have a portion of each modular bay devoted to offices. So that definition, I think, addresses their concern about clarifying that the language particularly related to commercial and sales is not really intended to allow free rein to retail-type businesses.
I know you, and you referenced Mr. Adams. I know you and Mr. Adams have been having discussion back and forth with drafts. Is this the latest iteration that you two...
He has not seen the latest iteration. This is in response to his response to my one before this, and I haven't had a chance. This just got inked about 3 minutes ago. So I will send it to him this afternoon and see if it addresses the concerns and if he has any further suggestions.
Is there any way that you two maybe can just have a 10-minute conversation? Because I feel like they keep on being drafts.
We could do that. We're
now down to like 5 or 6 different words, and I just think it might be more efficient.
Well, what are the words?
Like commercial.
Commercial and sales.
Sales. It's very little.
I need to ask a question about the concept of flex space.
Yes.
All right? Because I'm having a really hard time with it. Because flex space is a building. We say in the definition, it's a building.
Front-loaded building with loading docks in the back.
That's fine. That's a great description of it. But it's a building, right? So when I've gone through our regs, we permit as a matter of right flex space, which is a type of building.
Yes.
We don't specify any other types of buildings. So why are we saying that a type of building is an accessor, is permitted as a matter of right, as opposed to the uses that are, the uses, because it seems to me that flex space could go any number of places. So if we chose that a flex building could only go in certain zoning categories, we would say that structures that could be used within this category include flex space or flex buildings, but could be a prefabricated Butler building, could be, in today's world, there's lots of opportunity for different types of buildings. And if we did that, we're then controlling the uses of the building based on the zone that they're in.
The reason that we wanted, first of all, flex space has been in the regulations for a long time because it's a little like warehousing. There's a lot of things that can go inside, but warehouses are treated as a category of building, whether they're storing or whether they're industrial. But so there are instances, we talk about apartments, that's a type of a building. It's also a use, but it's a type of building. I think it's because the commercial brokers use flex space as a very specific category because there are certain types of users that want to go into that kind of modular space, so that they're usually sort of small incubator businesses, and if, you're doing well, you take over the next bay when it becomes vacant. You're right, it's a type of building. I don't know that it hurts because anybody could build a different design a Butler building and do any of these uses. It's not limiting these uses to a flex building. It is basically acknowledging that flex buildings will change tenants all the time.
Well, I understand that, but it's also, though, saying that within a flex building you can only do certain things, as opposed to taking the flex building out of it and simply saying that within this zoning district, here's what you have a right to do.
If that's an amendment that the council would like to do, we could do it. I guess we were just trying to respond to the broker community because so often we'll call up and they'll say, well, I have this flex building I just bought. What can I do? And it it seemed like it was an easy way of conveying that information to people who often ask that question.
But if they ask the question, you can say to them, you can do anything that you can do in M1, or, you know, what's your zoning? You know, tell us where you are, what your address is. We know what the zoning is, and you can do anything that's in the zoning.
Well, I guess
and you don't have to argue with whether or not you can do retail in it or not.
I guess that relates to the question that I was going to ask, which is it your intent with flex space to add additional uses rather than buildings to encompass the uses that are already in the underlying zone? Because that seemed to me one of the conversations we had with Mr. Adams was, is that a difference of opinion? Is it your intent that flex space is an additional, is expanding the uses in the underlying zone?
No, not really.
So one of the things he had requested, or they had requested, was the language that said businesses with retail, no, I'm sorry, it was that whatever the under retail uses are limited to those that are permitted in the underlying district.
But there isn't an underlying district. This is all there is.
What is this?
CE is a regular map district. There isn't an underlying district. CLI is...
So CE doesn't have any permitted uses?
Yeah, it does. But it wouldn't be an underlying district. That implies that there's an overlay of some kind.
Okay, then that's probably the... Then maybe that's the wrong term. But in other words, whatever the... If flex space is a type of building that can encompass something, then those uses should be controlled by the district is what their argument is.
And right, because a for example is if the district allows bakeries, you could have a bakery in a flex space.
Not a retail type bakery.
Well, but
only if you were doing some kind of baking on site and it was an accessory to your
Well, I just picked bakeries out here because it was on the land use category, right? So,
but any other uses?
Let me pick something else, right?
In the CE list,
you know, you've got in the CE. You want me to be in the CE list? Okay, sorry, I'm in the wrong list, but I'll go to the CE list. This is where I'm.
Like furniture is one. And furniture could be a retail use.
A furniture store is a commercial type use.
So is that different than what I was saying?
But if you had in the CE district, right. If you had a small furniture manufacturer that
were manufacturing it and
they sold out front,
right.
Then that would be okay. Or if they actually were a representative for a specific line of furniture and they warehoused it and they sold to others but they sold out front,
right.
That would be acceptable.
As long as it's accessory, it's not the principal use. It's not primarily a furniture showroom, and there is nothing in the building except for furniture for sale.
Well, I'm confused because I'm just looking at CEE under uses permitted as a matter of right, and one of them, well, I guess it's one that you're adding, is furniture, appliance, business machine. Oh, is it furniture repair? Is that what that is?
Yeah, it's repairs.
Okay. So there aren't retail uses in here that...
That's really not the intent. The intent is that we did add elsewhere in CE, but not under flex, the ability to have restaurants because we're looking for some additional flexibility, and restaurants are always in short supply in the Route 1 corridor. It's a very fine line that we've had, and because flex has not been as tightly defined, and the current definition, which allows up to 15% retail, was added at the request of Dick Talkin. Over our objections the last time, because when you put something in that says 15% retail, it's impossible to monitor. We don't see every time a tenant turns over. So what is 15% then becomes 25%, then can become 90%.
Can I ask a practical question about that? When they change tenants, don't they need to get a permit?
Not unless they change the building in a way that requires electrical or building or plumbing permits.
So there's no permit,
nope.
But they need to come get in DILP. Okay.
Which is what the problem is over in Oakland Mills, that over time, you know, particularly Oakland Mills, you know, road off of Snowden and parts of Dobbin, we have what were flex buildings that now have all manner of other things in them. And we get these calls about, can I have a nail salon? And we say, no, that's not allowed. And then they point out that the building next door has a nail salon and a spa and a whole bunch of other stuff.
Right, and so we can solve the problem by redefining what flex space is and trying to imagine that, or we can resolve the problem by saying that flex space is a type of space that can be built in certain districts, but the uses that you can put it to are controlled by the uses within the district.
We could do that.
And then you wouldn't have to, we wouldn't be fighting over flex space, and it would be clear that that's what you could do, and you wouldn't, you know, you wouldn't have people saying, can I put a nail salon in an industrial area? And you would look at the, you know, they send them to the zoning, and if it says they can have personal service, then yes, the answer is they could, but if they can't, then the answer is no, they can't.
I'm okay if that's what you want to do. We just need to let the broker community know that we're changing how we structure these things.
The only thing I would also want to look at is we may want to make change to CLI. I have to go back and look at that.
Well, I think that the flex space is in a variety of places, and you bring up a good point. So maybe next week when we have a breather, we can actually bring together some brokers and see what they're thinking. Okay?
In the meantime,
they make it easier.
Can you just have that 10-minute conversation with Mr. Adams?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Yeah. Figure out what way we're going.
So can we go through... Are we finished with flex space, or where? Because I wanted to be able to go through the CE.
And whenever you're ready, I would like to maybe go through the chart, because we tried to liberalize and make more uses available in C, except for the retail-oriented uses. And in looking at this, it was actually interesting that you asked us to compare it in this chart-like format, because there raised a couple of questions about things that are not currently permitted in CE, but I see when they're allowed in M1, I think they'd make very good flex.
Do you have another copy of that, or does somebody have my copy of that? Because
mine was up here.
Oh, thank you.
I have one more if you need it.
I got it. Okay. Thanks. Go ahead.
This helps us kind of look at some of the differences. With the CE, there's a lot of things that are we added the athletic commercial, healthcare facilities, animal hospitals.
Athletic facilities, animal hospitals. So those are new in CE.
Well, they're more specifically allowed in terms of the way we categorize things.
Okay, so because that's one of the things that would be helpful if this chart showed is what is new in here.
If you have your text amendment book and you open it to page 307, you can follow along because what's new is in red.
Okay.
So.
And everything's in alphabetical order.
Yeah, you can just mark the ones that are new.
Well, as we go along, I'm happy to do that. I'm just trying to see what's new.
Yeah, if you read them in red, it's easiest because the red ones are the new ones. So animal hospitals are new, commercial athletic facilities, the banks, savings and loans, et cetera. The blueprinting, printing, duplicating, essentially like a Kinko's. Down under 16, 15 we may want to drop, which is the flex space, question mark.
Wait. Are you going through the CE or you're going through this chart?
I'm going through the CE.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay. This just allows you, if we wanted to talk about a particular use, to come back and look at it. Was that also allowed in a B2 or allowed in an M1? Food production, food and drink processing.
Apologize.
That would allow you to do the bakery. But it's really oriented to doing the baking with, and if you wanted accessory sales, it wouldn't be that you would be bringing in baked goods from someplace else and having it as a retail bakery. The 17 is the repair operation we mentioned earlier, small furniture, appliance, upholstery. Laundry and dry cleaning. The light industrial uses, I think we mentioned at one of the work sessions, is a new term in the definitions that essentially collapses a variety of manufacturing categories that are all allowed in M1.
So you are actually suggesting flex space is not even allowed in CE anymore.
Well, I'm not saying that. Let me get on the right page. I just flipped. Flex space is.
It's in
this chart has not been. I looked at that. I have a couple little question marks on my chart. Flex space should be allowed because you can see it's in black and it's not being proposed to delete in the list.
Right.
So the chart is wrong. Although maybe they clairvoyantly knew what the council was thinking.
Are you going through them and we're coming back and asking them? Because I had a question about laundry and dry cleaning establishments.
Okay, go ahead.
What's the thinking on adding laundry and dry cleaning establishments to CE?
I think we were thinking of it from the standpoint of trying to, roughly a third of the county's employees work in the Route 1 corridor, and thinking about the services that might be useful for an employee, may not live in the county, may be living someplace else, but what would you do at lunchtime? You might go for someplace to eat, so we added restaurants, and we thought, maybe dry cleaning if we were looking for another thing. I don't feel strongly about the dry cleaning. That's in that borderline, you know. You could push that off into the retail districts and the commercial redevelopment CR if you felt more comfortable with that.
Well, only in that it's a draw in the retail. Like, if you have a dry cleaning place, that might be where you also pick up your
lunch.
Bottle of wine and your lunch and your whatever else.
Well, and we were okay with lunch. We were not allowing liquor stores. Again, pushing the liquor stores to the retail category. But as you indicate, you can slice and dice these uses a variety of ways, and it's really a question of how strict or how flexible we want to be. Things like... We don't see a lot of nonprofit clubs. Number 26 is pet grooming establishment and pet daycare. Now, is that an employee type oriented use? Probably you'd leave your dog at pet daycare at home rather than bringing the car to work, but it's possible. The commercial recreation facilities, I think, is a good one. And then we added the variety of restaurants, carry out or standard. Some modifications to the commercial school categories to be a little bit more flexible, but those are the primary things that we thought would add more options for use in CE without doing a lot of encroaching on what would typically be retail center type uses, daycare being, or dry cleaning being debatable.
So the schools could be any kind of school, commercial school?
Well, we're trying to be just all schools commercial. You know, before it said limited to business schools and trade schools.
Well, what's confusing is you're taking stuff out that
you're right. I think the intent, I can check with staff on that.
Okay.
That is confusing. I think the intent was to be more liberal because it's like, for example, what about things like driving schools? You know, that seems like a perfectly reasonable use. It's not, doesn't fall into the category of business or trade. But I'm not sure that it fits under art schools. Probably other commercially operated schools is a good broad category.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we just need to delete those brackets.
Or maybe we simply say commercially operated schools and let them be what they are.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
Could be a yes.
Mm-hmm.
And because the minute we name a few...
Mm-hmm.
We get ourselves into trouble if we think that commercially operated schools are logical in the CE district, and I would think that it could well be.
I'm still trying to get my mind around how flex space fits into these. So it can be any of these things. That's why flex space seems like one of these things is not like the others, is because...
Well, I understand completely what you're saying. I think it's just that we have... It's clearly in there now. It's been in there a long time, and it's a sort of, as I said, a recognized category. So it seemed reasonable to include it, but if the logic of including a building that puts many things in one location as opposed to it being a use per se,
right.
I don't think it hurts to take it out. When we get together with some brokers, I can run that by a couple of the brokers we've consulted on other parts of this to see if anybody has any concerns.
So just from my understanding of that one, though, if it's a laundry, I don't know, I'm just picking that out, but that may be the wrong one to pick out. It's restricted, or it is not restricted. It can be anything if it's in CE. But then if it's in a flex space building, it has further restrictions?
No.
Are there any of these that have further restrictions in the flex space? Because I guess I don't know what what makes it a flex space.
Flex space is that space that it's modular. They could be as small as 3 bays, but usually they're designed in even increments structurally. They're of a certain depth. Usually the more current ones have, you know, certain floor-to-ceiling heights because a lot of them will have a significant amount of back space to storage. They'll usually be a small office, could be a little bit of sales, but it's mostly either a light industrial function or it could be some kind of a distribution function in the back.
Just to orient
It's a shell.
Where do we have CE in the county?
The CE is all in Route 1 corridor, all close to the corridor frontage. It is not deep into the corridor. I mean, if you look at the corridor as being 95 to 1 to Anne Arundel County line, it's a fairly shallow area right along the frontage.
Because I know I've got a ton of CE. Does anybody else have CE?
You've got a ton of CE.
Okay.
And by virtue of the fact that Flex is also allowed in M1, it then indirectly is allowed in
Newtown.
Columbia and Newtown. And that's, I think, what has generated a lot of the concern. Mm-hmm. I haven't really heard anybody in the Route 1 corridor talking about this. It's really the Newtown crowd.
Because in a lot of the commercial areas, or all of the commercial areas in Newtown, they allow M1 uses. Is that the sort of...
In the commercial industrial.
In commercial industrial.
Because there's been this
Newtown
fuzziness about the Flex space being able to creep over into retail, it's making the boundary between what is commercial employment industrial in Columbia and employment commercial in Columbia fade. That's really the whole issue. They're concerned that the employment industrial is now encroaching into the employment commercial use opportunities.
But M1 is a permitted use in Newtown industrial,
but
not a restraint
on
use.
Employment, not in the commercial.
And it's not a restraint on the use. It's just a permitted use.
Yes.
Right, because the FDP would potentially restrict the uses,
right,
or even open up the uses.
Sometimes they open up the uses more after they say, most of them would, particularly in the older industrial ones, wouldn't say anything you're allowed to do in M1, and the only thing they would be more permissive or restrictive about tends to be things like gas stations.
Mm-hmm. Now, does that, you're saying that in the Newtown FDP, sometimes they prohibit gas stations even though they're permitted in M1?
Yes. Or sometimes they'll say it's only allowed on parcel whatever,
right,
and they're very specific.
Okay.
I don't know whether there's anything that you think is in the M1 category that should be allowed in Flex. The only thing that occurred to me in seeing this collection lined up together is under the D's, data processing and telecommunication centers are listed as being in M1, but not in CE.
Okay, can we go back one second, because I'm trying to wrap my brain around the question.
Mm-hmm.
Is the point that, because you're saying, do we want them in M1, and we're having a conversation about CE, your point is that adding them to M1 adds them to Flex space, adds them to, I don't understand why we're talking about M1 all of a sudden.
What we received in terms of criticism from the brokers, some property owners, but mostly brokers, because they're always trying to lease the Flex space, is that they thought that the uses that were allowed in CE were too limiting and that we needed to be more flexible, because if you have a building that is got a vacancy and there's a very narrow range of uses, that is very restrictive. And so we've added the light industrial, which is a huge range of possibilities.
Retail use, actually.
So we added the light industrial as a huge range of possibilities, but we went through, as we just went through, everything you see in red are things that were added in CE in order to make it easier for brokers to be able to lease existing buildings.
Okay, but if do we have CE without CLI?
No, they're all together.
Okay. So when you have this chart and it says CE, is that all the uses in CE, CLI, or just those things in CE?
Because it's only the ones in CE. The CLI is intended to be, and again, it was at the request of the broker community in the last comp zoning, basically saying, well, and the thought at the time was that CE would be mostly office and Flex, not so much the industrial. That would kind of remain in the M1, M2. And they basically, the brokers are saying, we have lots of buildings out there. Some of them are true Flex buildings. Some of them are more warehouse industrial buildings. But tenants come and go. Even in the larger industrial buildings, tenants turn over all the time. And they wanted to make sure that they would have flexibility about what the uses would be. The CLI, at the time when we first did it, we did not have the light industrial categories there. It was really not intended to be an industrial zone. We were figuring that would be an M1 and M2. But the brokers raised the point, quite valid, that so-and-so built an industrial building and, you know, it's going to be a good quality building for 15 or so years, and, you know, we're not about ready to tear it down and do something else, so we need flexibility about what can go in there. So CLI was intended to allow them great flexibility about what went into existing kind of warehouse industrial buildings. And that's really what the intent of CLI was when it was first created, to keep them from being considered non-conforming, those warehouses. And so now we're saying, well, let's make them actually permitted. All those light industrial uses can be permitted uses, so we don't even have to worry about that. And we're adding some things to the CLI that would allow additional flexibility as well for some of the other.
So to me, what would be helpful in looking at the CE would be a comparison of CECLI now and CECLI as proposed. Do you have that in any format?
Can't read that from the red?
Well, I think the problem is that it's so intertwined with, you'd have to go, I mean, we could keep going through and then get to CLI and then talk about what's added, because it's added in the definition light industrial, and then it's also what's added in the flex space.
What were you asking, Ms. McLaughlin, to do?
A comparison of what's allowed in CECLI now and what would be permitted in CECLI under what's being proposed.
So if we just turn to CLI.
Well, I guess we can finish going through this and go through CLI. I'm not sure it's.
CLI is only one page.
Right.
So I think maybe that's a good approach.
Right, but then you don't know what's been added in CLI in the definition of light industrial, and you don't know what's been added in flex.
The only other. Can I say one other thing about flex while we're still in CE before we go on to CLI? If you look at page 311, which is where the bulk regulations are, the intent.
Say that again, what page?
311. And it's the minimum structure setback, section 3. The idea of the Route 1 corridor when we were doing work with the task force was, again, right now, the older industrial zones, they pushed the buildings way back. You got a lot of parking up front. And that was what M1 and M2 really were. And the intent was to bring buildings closer to the street. And what we found is that works fine for office, because the office is a good marketing. The architecture markets itself, and the parking goes behind. The office tenants and visitors don't care. Whereas when you have something like truck activity, it's a real problem to put all the parking for employees and other visitors in the back mixing in with truck activity. So that's turned out to be a problem. And so we've added language under 3, which basically still talks about setbacks from Route 1, and we're still trying to pull things closer to Route 1. We're changing it from 100 feet to 50 feet unless we have rear-loaded truck docks for industrial or flex building uses, which require the building to be set back more in order to allow parking in front for employees and visitors, so that the trucking activity and the parking functions are separated. So that's the only other place that we really kind of use flex in a way that helps define it's a building type, but it's got a building, it's got truck service needs that are different from other types of buildings. So I think we could work around that language, but if we decide to get rid of flex as a term, we just want to be real clear about that. If we turn to the CLI, is that what you wanted to do? Was to compare CLI or not?
Well, before you go there, it says in the case of the truck loading,
mm-hmm.
the 50-foot setback may be increased to a maximum of 80 feet. Is that just automatic, or they have to request that, or how does that work?
No, they can just do that automatically. It's when they come in with their site plan and we say, oh, yes, this is a truck operation, and you're definitely going to need to separate your parking for employees and visitors from your trucking function.
Okay. What else has changed here before we go to CLI?
The main other change.
Did you go through? What was on 309 to 310? This commercial use is permitted in multi-story.
Yes,
mode.
This is language that essentially, while we recognize that we're not likely to have a large number of office buildings, there was language previously. If you look at page 308, section C, commercial uses permitted with limitations, and there's a red bracket there, all of C was deleted. And we're proposing to simplify and insert the new C. And
okay.
And the intent was, as a sort of an incentive to promote office, was that the language that's being deleted was to say, well, if you do an office building that's a multi-story, we're going to give you more retail opportunities. So you might have first floor retail and then your office above. That has not really worked very well, and it's a very kind of cumbersome, hard to interpret section, so we've tried to streamline it, and we have a new C there, which still says, okay, even though we went through the permitted uses and we're not trying to have retail in CE, we allow a little bit more flexibility of retail as an incentive if somebody wants to come in and do a multi-story office building. There was a ZRA that the council approved for the McEwen. Pat McEwen has a property that was where the old three nines. I don't know why there's three nines, but three nines building was. He came in with a two-story office building, and he wanted to be able to do a drive-through lane associated with a bank or a fast food restaurant. And that language was approved by the council. So essentially it takes that idea that says if you do a multi-story office, we would allow you to have a drive-through lane, one drive-through lane, which could be for a bank. You could also do some personal service, and you can have a fast food restaurant with one drive-through lane as long as it's not visible. It's at the back of the building. So whether we will see any office buildings built in CE, we don't know, but we thought giving them a little bit more of a flexibility on the bank and the restaurant drive-through and the personal service might make offices possible. I don't think we're going to see a lot. We might see one or two.
And just to go back, and the reason we're not going to see a lot is because the marketplace along there is supporting some other types of business.
Right, and correct? There's a lot of office product in the pipeline. And RCLCO, right. When they looked at both Anne Arundel and Howard, we have 35 years worth of office in the pipeline in more appropriate locations.
Well, so if that's the case, I'm looking at this from the perspective that, and I don't have, I have none of this in my district, although I am a potential user of this. And so I'm going to look at it from the perspective of a potential user, okay? So I look down this list, and I'm looking at things that could potentially make sense in the area along Route 1 if, in fact, we're saying that uses other than office or office related to the front office related to what's happening in the back. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at this and asking you the question, why are auction facilities allowed in B2 but not in these areas where we actually allow flex space? Because it seems to me that a flex space would be a very likely type of building that you could put an auction facility, you know, that an auction house could put to work. So when I look at that, and I would ask the same thing about bakeries, right? Not a bakery that just is a retail bakery, but if you had, like we used to have, the bakery over up on Route 40 that moved to Catonsville, where you would bake on premises and then you would sell out of the front.
That would be allowed.
But what
that would be allowed is number 6.
Okay. Well,
16.
All right. So what I'm having as I look at this, I'm not comparing.
Yeah, I think maybe that's an error on this chart. Am I wrong? That CE's, if you look at the chart, it doesn't say bakeries are permitted.
Well, maybe what we should say bakeries, comma, retail. That's a category that is allowed in B2. The title of what we would be doing in CE or in M1 or M2 shows up under food and drink. If you look a little further down.
Okay.
There's a fairly lengthy thing there that says food and drink production. And it's missing CE, but it's allowed on my thing. So that's another one that says a mess up here.
Right. Which one is that? What number? I mean, what?
Food and drink. Food and drink production, processing, packaging, distribution, dairy products, food products, bakery products, non-alcoholic beverages, now that we have our breweries.
Well, and interestingly enough, I'm looking at CE from the perspective of breweries as well. It could be that a space where you brew in the back and have your tasting room in the front along Route 1 would be a real asset to the Route 1 area. Certainly there are other communities, and I've, as somebody who loves checking out the local microbrews when I'm on vacation, that benefit, the areas benefit mightily from microbreweries in, you know, and if we're, if, again, I'm asking what is the, I'm thinking about users.
I would be happy to add breweries to CE.
And I'm also wondering, did we, okay, so we do have biomedical laboratories,
yes.
But they're not.
That's an error on my chart, but there are in the.
Right.
Okay, can we go back to, I'm sorry, can I?
Uh-huh.
Biomedical, wait, so there's an error. I think it, going back to sort of the purpose of CE, like, isn't part of that to be sort of the front edge? It was supposed to really change the look of Route 1, is my understanding in part. And the problem is that it was limited to office space, right? It was limited to office space.
It allowed office and flex, but flex was not well-defined.
So it was office and flex, and it seems to me that that is something that has not taken off like wildfire, for sure. And it seemed like our CLCO was saying CE probably doesn't work as it exists on along Route 1. So it seems like you're adding uses to inspire folks to use the other permitted uses. But I wonder if you had given some thought, or maybe you have done this, and I'm just not thinking it through, taking CE off in a number of places.
Well, the thing about this is the CE tends to be not all that deep. It works very well for flex space because it's not large warehouse functions. The heavier manufacturing, almost all of the Route 1 corridor that's employment is M2.
Light blue.
And okay. It's very deep and it's very heavy and it's very oriented towards warehouse and distribution. These are really smaller buildings that have a higher quality design to them and work well as incubators for lots of different kinds of small businesses.
Sure.
Yeah, the CE. That's really what it is. It's kind of intended to be kind of that small business, startup, grow kind of space. And it's less truck-oriented. There may be trucking at the back of Flex, but it's not like you've got the larger, heavier warehousing where you've got practically no employees, practically no parking, and acres of truck court.
Right, but I guess what I'm saying is that it seems to me that that is not business that the consultants or anyone else thought would be think now, in 2013, will be very successful along Route 1.
I think they think the flex space is quite viable. I think they think that the chances of office are not promising.
And flex space is usually much cheaper to put up so that over time when the market changes and flex space can be turned into office all the way from front to back.
Right.
So if you're, you know, so you can start with certain things, and then it can grow over time. So again, I'm going back to this list, and I look at it, and I say to myself, okay, if that's the case, why would we, for example, not want to have business machine sales, rentals, and service establishments, where in fact you could have a rental facility in the front, or certainly an office with those with storage, as well as a place for people to work doing repairs if things come in for repair.
I don't have any problem with adding that. I think that what happened was when we added things, it was in the discussion with staff, and then we went to the planning board. We got a little bit of feedback. It frankly would have been nice if we had done this chart earlier, because I think by looking at it, you see some uses that exist other places that make sense.
Right, and you brought up the data processing. Why? It seems to me that that's...
It's actually, I think the data processing is on the list and it didn't get put properly into the chart.
It's
moving too fast.
Right.
But the business machines and then the biomedical laboratories. Actually, biomedical laboratories is in business machines would have to be added.
Mm-hmm.
And brewers might be added.
That's something that you discussed a lot with the group that you brought together for the Route 1, for looking at the Route 1. It seems to me that it might make sense to talk to those folks.
Well, I think since I'm going to run the definition of flex by a couple of the brokers that were on that group, I can run the corrected version of the chart that we've double-checked to make sure we've got everything straight. I can run it by and see if there's anything else that jumps out.
And so then again, I would be looking at the idea of lawn and garden sheds and equipment sales and repair.
I mean, these are
just the things that...
Okay. I think we should be cautious in adding all those types of uses to CE. I mean, CE is really supposed to be office space. And the idea is to sort of clean up the front end of Route 1. And if we add sort of those more, I don't know, industrial.
What have we added so far?
Design standards.
Recommendation. What are you recommending we add so far?
Me?
Both of you.
I haven't recommended adding anything.
I'm thinking from a use perspective about why we wouldn't consider some of these uses within this type of buildings that would be there. Not to take away from the design elements of the district, but to allow uses where the buildings that are currently there that meet design standards could use, or if you were thinking about actually building something. That's all.
You raise an important issue about the design standards, and are those in here other than in the Route 1 besides the Route 1 manual? Are there additional things here? Because that is part of the discussion we've had, is that some of it isn't about what's actually the use inside, but how it looks and how it appears on the front edge of Route 1. And so, I think that's a valid point. Are there things in here that speak to sort of the frontage, how they look, how they are maintained?
That's really primarily in the manual. Things like what I pointed out earlier, where we have discovered that we need to allow more flexibility, where you do have rear-loaded trucking to allow the buildings to come closer. Whenever we finish the comp zoning, we will have to go back to the design manual and make them accommodate to any changes that we do in terms of particularly the bulk regulations. Most of the design standards related to architecture or related to streetscape improvements really aren't in the zoning. They're only in the manual.
I guess I would say that if what you're hoping to do here is to open up uses, mm-hmm. it's important to look at the uses that one allows. And then if the other goal of the district is to improve the appearance of the district, then the design standards need to be, So it's not, so you aren't controlling your the look of the district by strangleholding the uses.
Right.
And I think that may be what you've been hearing.
Well, and that's what we're trying to do, is not to stranglehold the uses, but not to go so far towards the retail end of things
right.
that then we compete with both commercial centers on Route 1 and then inadvertently having problems in Columbia.
No, and I agree with you on that, but at the same time, there are potentially some other logical uses.
Right, and I think it's been a great idea to put this into a chart, and we will go through and look at it, and we will take it to some commercial brokers that have been on our work group and see if there's any thoughts, again, without drifting too far in the retail direction.
Right. Makes sense to me.
Do you want to go through the rest of the changes in CE briefly? We've lost some of our audience.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we've covered most of them. We went through uses, and we will go back to our brokers on the work group. We talked about the fact that we tried to leave in still some incentive for office to the extent that there is, possibly in a couple of locations there might be somebody who wanted to do that. I very much liked the building that Pat McEwen proposed on the 3-9 site, so I didn't want to take out the option if he ever changed his mind and wanted to come back and do it.
And also, that building is part of like a whole revitalization plan with the fire station, the Montevideo realignment, the SHA. Done well, that entire area will be
transformed.
Transformed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What isn't that up for rezoning though? 3-9s.
They are requesting B1. With the CR overlay.
Instead
we were
CE.
Hoping to keep the CECLI as the underlying, and then if they wanted to go commercial, that they would
do the
CR. But that will be a question of what the council wants to do.
What did you recommend?
We had recommended CECLI originally. I believe, frankly, after the planning board, the administration came back. Right now it should read B1 with CR. I think you could go either way.
I guess Dr. Ball will look into which of those would best make it continue to do the great things that it seems like
yes.
it's heading
Thank you.
Toward. Okay.
Okay, and we talked about the setback issue, which changes E2A and then is addressed also in that maximum structure setback. Both of them deal with that issue of the flex buildings being allowed to come back and parking allowed to come closer only for those instances where we want to separate trucks and parking.
I think we've seen a lot of that parking
right.
concern.
Right.
Okay, so what is this under amenity?
Amenity area. We have not had in the CE the anything about amenity areas. We have language in CAC and TOD, and the thought was in this one where the if you have a larger CE that's 3 acres or more, we actually it's currently 5, and we haven't seen many 5-acre CEs be developed, but we thought even with a 3-acre, they often have quite a few employees because they have a lot of different kinds of businesses there. It's just a little bit of any kind of outdoor space that would be attractive and would create some sense of place. And then
I'm just going to say that I like the pedestrian and bicycle improvements, in case you were wondering if I'd seen that.
The intent is to try and make more linkage. Right now,
yes,
unfortunately, everything on Route 1 is isolated, and the only way you get to anywhere is by car, unless you're a poor soul who doesn't have one, and then you take the dirt path that has been worn along the edge of the road.
But we are working on those.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you. I like that what you added there.
And I particularly like G, because we have places where outdoor storage exists. They would be non-conforming uses, and what we're saying is, you know, we're trying to restrict new outdoor storage to no more than 5% and to screen it, essentially. It exists, but trying to make it be behind the building and less obtrusive than what exists along much of the corridor. Mm-hmm. Those are really the only significant improvements. There are a couple of little language cleanups.
On 313, what does that add, Route 1 right-of-way improvements? It seems like a good thing, but I thought that was already required.
I think it was added to try and be more clear. The whole last section, H, deals with we have old businesses that have been there for a very long time. They come in to modify something, and we're sort of struggling with what to do with those. And sometimes it's a change of use, and they don't do much outside. Sometimes it's an addition to the building, or they're adding more parking. This is intentionally trying to say that, you know, to the extent that it's a significant expansion, modification, we're looking for some kind of proportional upgrade to meet the Route 1 standards. And that language is
just clarifying
not precise. We're trying to, within the constraints of each site, if we can get streetscape improvements without destroying their only parking. I mean, some of these buildings are really close to the road. You can't do much with the existing property unless you took the building down. We're not going to make them give up all parking, you know, or a piece of the building in order to do it. But if it's possible to do and they're doing a reasonable expansion, we sort of feel the cost of putting in that streetscape ought to be reasonable. And we will be bringing to you, I hope, in September, language related to tax credits to assist for renovations along Route 1 corridor.
Looking forward to seeing that. CLI.
Most of CLI is not really changing, and it was oriented, as I said, the broker community was very much concerned that C, which is what's permitted use as a matter of right, would essentially say that by right, any of these manufacturing warehousing buildings would be considered permitted uses, not non-conforming uses, so that if somebody wanted to sell it, they could get financing from a bank. And so it essentially allows more flexibility on the permitted uses. What we're adding is towards the end, which is related to trying to allow the F. If there are other uses that are not allowed either by CE or by CLI, CLI was really oriented towards large investments in industrial buildings, whether they're manufacturing or warehousing. It did not give permitted use status to those many, 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 many motor vehicle-oriented uses that we have. There are also quite a few contracting operations along the corridor. And so this language is associated, again, with the idea of having a tax credit for an upgrade, that if someone is willing to do the upgrade, even a motor vehicle use or a contracting yard can become permitted, and it's a process for allowing them to become permitted if they're willing to come through the upgrade, and they have to go to the design advisory panel to get some advice as to how the upgrade could best be done.
And maybe we can talk more offline because I want to understand a little bit more about that. But does that mean that's a permitted use from now on the property? Or if once that ceases, is it sort of a quasi-conforming use?
Well, let's take an example where somebody has a used car dealership because we have so many of them. And the assumption is that if they wanted to be able to become a permitted use, perhaps so they could sell it. Maybe they're getting older and they would like to be able to sell. If they upgrade, we would basically be issuing a permit to them that says they have gone from being non-conforming to being permitted based on having done X, Y, and Z upgrade. And that as long as those renovations are in place, the building is considered a permitted use. So, yes, they could sell it. If the new owner comes in and rips out all those enhancements, then they would go back to being nonconforming.
Okay. Any other questions on CECLI? Otherwise, I will meet with Marcia separately so I can get a better understanding of that piece.
No.
And we will redo this chart and run it by the brokers along with the definition of flex.
And you're going to be talking with
Earl Lisa. Adams.
Thank you.
Yes.
I suggest maybe we move on to SC.
We can do that.
To SC? Were there any other things on Route 1? I guess I was maybe thinking there were other things
are
on Route 1. But SC is fine. There was another chart that we did that looked at the B2 versus SC uses. And I think I gave that out earlier. I know I have one copy. If we need to, I can make more copies, but I don't think I brought extras.
Doesn't it come out on the same chart?
No, because
out
SC
a chart.
Was a
I know, but it's not. Doesn't also exist on the... Oh, SC is not on the chart.
Right, right.
You want us to make copies, and maybe we could take...
There really
copy.
Aren't any changes to SC.
SC is not being proposed to change at all because we're actually proposing to remove it.
Right.
This was a way of being able to understand what was in B2 that was not in SC, and there are a few changes. I could read off what the differences are if that's easier than trying to locate your chart.
I have mine, so. Okay.
For some reason, when SC was created, the ambulatory healthcare facility use was not allowed. So if you wanted to do some kind of a clinic or something like that, it would not be allowed. I'm not sure why that was considered objectionable.
Okay.
Yes. Amusement facilities is another category. That's more like Chuck E. Cheese. Athletic facilities commercial is a category that exists in B2 but doesn't allow in SC, and I'm not, again, sure why we would have not allowed athletic facilities in those two centers. Auction facilities was raised by Ms. Siggety earlier. I don't think we have a lot of auction facilities either in B2 or anywhere else.
I'm not sure why we'd want to add them to a shopping center.
As far as I'm concerned, you probably could take them out of B2 for that matter, because I think where you would probably get auction going on, it would be more in a larger warehouse type building. I don't think you're likely to get them in a shopping center. The retail rents are too expensive for the most part to just put a bunch of stuff in there waiting for the next auction. So I think it's maybe a little archaic that auction facilities are even in there. Similarly, we don't see a lot of building cleaning, painting, roofing, exterminating, and similar establishments in B2. Those tend to be more in industrial areas, but that is a distinction. Bulk retail sales is a category that probably more or less equates to big box. Bus terminals. I can't think of any bus terminals that we have in B2 other than perhaps air bus out in off of Tridelphia Road. Certainly not in the shopping centers that exist.
How are we defining bus terminals?
Well, that question came up. This is a private, and maybe we should say the word private bus terminal, because we clearly do not mean that Howard Transit cannot arrive, you know,
correct, or
anytime
right,
as frequently as we can get it to come.
Exactly.
So we could certainly
Or a transit center.
Right.
Right. Something that would be utilized by not just Howard Transit, but all of our other buses.
Right.
And we might want those to be in either one of, you know.
Right. I think we consider Howard Transit to be a government service, and you can do government uses anywhere, so we haven't really worried about specifically including language for bus, you know, shelters or.
But if, in fact, we've made bus terminals, as with AIRS in Glenel, then we can't take it out of B2 because...
Right. But we could clarify it's a private bus terminal,
mm-hmm.
if that is helpful.
Right.
Car wash facilities. I'm not really sure why car wash facilities are not allowed in SC, but apparently
they're
not.
They are in Dorsey Search.
Well, maybe there's a zoning violation there.
Well, it's part of the gas station.
Yeah, I'm wondering if it's a separate. Is a car wash facility just a separate facility for car wash rather than part of a gas station?
I don't know. Again, the history of SC is quite old, and why that was considered to be separate as opposed to part of a gas station. I mean, I don't think that car washes were probably as prevalent, you know, when the regulations for SC were written. Now they're generally attached to gas stations, or frequently anyway. Concert halls, heaven only knows why. I don't think there are many concert halls and shopping centers. I can't really think of any.
Where's gas station on this list?
It doesn't show up as a by right. It is a conditional use in B2.
But not in SC? I thought it was an SC.
I will look real quick.
I'm looking. It is.
It is? Okay.
So we should compare those uses also. Okay. But we could do these first.
Okay. Convents don't have a lot of those going on in B2, but they're allowed.
Not yet.
You know, there is adaptive reuse. You never can tell.
Never can tell. Convenience stores, I have no idea why that would be prohibited in SC, particularly if you have a gas station in this day and age.
Because you have a grocery store.
Yes, I guess. I guess, but some of the centers have. I know Long Reach has a little convenience store as well. Mm-hmm. This list, clearly the staff grabbed it real quick because you already asked for the earlier chart that showed M1 and M2. So there are a couple of things that that show up as categories that didn't get eliminated because they were part of M1 or M2. So ignore crematoriums and data processing because they shouldn't be on the list. They're clearly not uses that are allowed in either the B1 or B2 or shopping center. Same way with feed and grain mills. And flex space and food and drink production. So we have a bunch there that are mistakes. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, going back to where I started shopping, fairgrounds, the B2, our one and only fairgrounds is B2, but we're not seeing them in other shopping centers. It's kind of an anomaly. And then you get down to things like go-karts also disappears.
We have farm supply stores.
Farm supply stores are in B2. The only one I can think of is probably the one at St. John's Lane and Frederick Road.
Yeah, Southern States.
And it's kind of, again, it's a holdover. It's been there a really long time. The hotel, motel, country inn category is something
that... skip flea markets.
I skip flea markets. Flea markets, yes. Oh, and firewood sales. Firewood sales and flea markets are only allowed. I don't know why firewood sales would be particularly objectionable.
But flea markets might not be something.
Right. Yet it's an indoor. It's not an outdoor.
Again, for the most part, flea markets are cheap rental space, like auctions. You don't see them very much. We really, as far as I know, only have one flea market, which is down in a former retail space on Route 1. So I guess I don't think it's likely use is maybe what I'm trying to say. The next one that's missing in SC that is allowed in B2, which is the hotel, motel, conference center use. Kennels. Although I don't think we would have kennels in this day and age in a B2 area. Kennels have outdoor running spaces. What we would be much more apt to have would be pet grooming and pet daycare kinds of, or animal hospital in a shopping center.
Should they be taken out of B2, though?
No.
I think we'd have to check. There might be a rural B2 that might have it. We're certainly not having it anywhere inside public water, public sewer that would be in a shopping center type, you know, area.
Okay.
Similarly, livestock sales and auctions, you know, the only livestock sale that was ever here that I'm aware of was up at Livestock Road and is no longer here, hasn't been here for a very long time. Lumber yards and retail sale of lumber, this is essentially the Home Depot type use. Mobile home and modular home sales is another one that's only allowed in B2, not SC. Motor vehicle construction equipment and farm equipment sales and rentals is a B2 use, not an SC.
Except you've marked it as SC.
Where?
No.
Oh, that's a separate one. Oh. I don't know what the difference is. What's the difference between motor vehicle construction equipment?
One is repair and one is sales.
So the repair.
So you can
sales
do the
now.
Repair in SC, but you cannot do the sales.
Well, there you go. How does that work?
I can't justify what these changes are. That's why I'm trying to make it a level playing field.
I got it. I just think it's very interesting.
And motor vehicle inspection stations.
And recreational vehicle, marine equipment, boat sales, maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
Or were you finished or you're?
Well, the only other one that got, I guess the parking vehicles and the photographic processing are not allowed in any of them.
Okay, but then you've got, are you still going or are you finished?
There's still a couple on the last page. Commercial schools are not allowed in SC, nor are taxi cab businesses or taxidermies, which is not a high-demand use. B2 does allow for wholesale sales made from retail establishments and limited to products permitted to be sold at retail in this district. Again, we don't see a lot of wholesale sales operation because the rents are so high in shopping centers, you sell them at retail price.
So what's the difference between B1 and B2?
B2 tends to have the heavier uses that are sometimes by conditional use, like a gas station. But they're also the bulk retail, which is the big box. So Snowden Square is a B2. The other main differences pertain to things like fast food is by right, whereas in M1 it's a conditional use.
Is that here?
Fast food isn't listed. We didn't pull the conditional uses for SC. They only pulled the by right uses. I'd have to go back and look
at some point, if not today, then Friday, we're going to have a thorough conversation on conditional use.
Yeah. We could do a comparison then.
Yeah, so okay. Could we?
If you could add that to here.
Maybe before we leave, council members, we can, any specific questions we have, so that when Ms. McLaughlin comes back Friday and has that thorough conversation, if there's any other information we need from her.
So it just seems to me that, because I have an amendment in for this to keep the SC in and keep it in Dorsey. Seems
you have
to
an amendment? I'm sorry, what was that?
To keep the SC in.
And what was the second part?
To keep it on Dorsey, on the Dorsey property.
And then to rezone Chatham?
I think the problem with Chatham is it already had some of those, a number of the more intense uses. So I'm okay keeping the SC on Chatham, but that's a discussion to have. My feeling was that what I thought B1 was is more of the retail component, and B2 was sort of the heavier uses that you were talking about. And it seems to me odd to take a retail center, which a shopping center is, and add and change it over to the heavier of the B's. Like maybe if you change it to B1, I could understand that, but I'm not sure why change it to B2.
Well, I think there's that we were thinking because there's a gas station there, it would need to be B2. It could probably be split. It could perhaps, well, that would be an option.
I just think a lot of the uses that we're reading in B2 are not things that necessarily make sense in a village center. And while it's not a new town village center, it is a village center in Columbia. And I think those are some reasonably intense uses for certainly the image I have of a village center, certainly an image that's come up in our discussions of village centers.
I do think that Dorsey Search benefits from the fact that there are covenants that would not allow all of the B2-type uses.
Covenants, did you say? I didn't hear what you
covenants,
said.
Covenants, yeah.
Covenants.
Right, but we, as we've been told by legal in the past, can't zone or not zone based on private covenants.
No, and we could not enforce it, but I would certainly expect that if somebody wanted to come in with an auction house, my guess is that's probably not allowed, and there probably would be an effort by the village board to enforce. I don't think Kimco is proposing it. I don't want to have anybody think that.
Right, but why put that in? I guess my thought is, why put that worry in to a village center? Unless there's some use in B2 that we need to get to.
No,
I don't know.
As I said, our only motivation is when we have a district that only has two properties in it, it just seems like, is there some compelling reason why we really need a special district for those two properties? That's all.
So, Ms. Terraza, your amendment to keep the SC district, which is different from DPZ's recommendation, is exclusively for the Dorsey?
Well, there's only the two, Dorsey and Chatham. And I could see that the Chatham had some of the more intense uses. I did speak to both council members. I'm not saying they necessarily agreed with the Dorsey piece.
Well, that's what I was actually about to ask, because it's currently in Ms. Siggety's district, and it may be transitioning to District 1. Ms. Siggety or Ms. Watson, do you have any you want to weigh in on this SC? Because it seems like it's only a district for one property.
It'll be likely one. I don't want to say it will be one. It'll likely be one, right?
Yeah, I don't see any issue with the property in my district. Greg, you're near there. Yep. Do you have any?
I think my gut is that I would support B1 in that district. And while I have said that, you know, if there's a district and it's on a property, and even if it's just one district, I don't have a problem necessarily keeping it, you know, just on one property. But I guess if at the same time, if there is one, then there's no reason not to potentially put it. I guess I don't understand the downside of changing the Dorsey one to what was it?
It's not B1, it's B2. Like, huh? I wouldn't have a problem with B1. You said you'd support B1.
I think where? You
meant B2. Over. Oh, yeah, over.
Well, it's 40. The.
Huh?
I mean, it's the problem I have is some of the more intense uses don't make sense to me.
You're talking about over at that property or elsewhere?
She's talking about Dorsey Hall.
I'm talking about Dorsey, but the reality is I think it's not the same.
Well, Dorsey's got a gas station, right?
Yes.
So why? I mean, that's the most intense, really. That would be the only.
Well, you missed some of the discussion. I mean, maybe you should.
I was listening the last 30 minutes, actually.
Here's what I would say. Being very, very familiar with
this particular village. You're probably the most familiar, Ms. Siggety.
Here's what I would say, being familiar with them. I will tell you that when we did the Village Center legislation, the Dorsey Search Village Board wanted to figure out how could their village center be included in that redevelopment process, which, of course, we couldn't do. I don't think the uses are the problem here. I actually think that what they lose by taking the SC out is are the sketch plans and the requirement that's in the SC that they need to that there needs to be an overall plan. That then gets approved by the Director of Planning and Zoning. So if in fact we're going to leave the if we are going to rezone Chatham to allow for, you know, to allow for many things, including smaller setbacks, as you pointed out, Ms. McLaughlin, et cetera, which potentially makes sense up there, because I would imagine that the Route 40 design manual wants things to be closer to Route 40, et cetera, and doesn't want to have the types of setbacks that are actually in the SC district. That this, if we were to leave it and actually look at it a little differently, would allow us to meet some of the requests of the Dorsey Search community when we were doing the Village Center things, and actually
if we were to look, say that again?
It would allow us to actually look at what needs to be done on a site that's zoned SC that would bring in a sense of a community voice and
Village Center type process.
What's logical.
So it would allow us to craft, yes, it would be a single zone for a single parcel of property, but it's a parcel of property that wanted some special attention anyway. So we can think about that. That's what I see. That's where I see the advantage to this.
To keeping that scene?
So wait a minute. So what do you recommend?
I've actually been thinking about this, okay? And it's
That's
really
why I got confused.
I got confused. I've been thinking about it,
but I'm not focused on the uses. I'm actually focused on the potential for redevelopment, all right? And what does that mean? And trying to be true to the Village Center concept in Columbia and all of the things that we've set up. And so if we're going to move everybody else out of the SC district.
Everybody else, there's two people.
Yeah, right. Or so if we're going to move the other one, I'm sorry. But if nobody else is an SC, we can craft this
Something
SC to be, and then we don't put it onto the property. What we do is we change it a bit in terms of text to actually be able to allow it to produce some sort of a process.
So you're recommending keeping SC, but just molding it to this
Correct.
One property.
And I would say let's keep it and let's not worry about molding it at this point. And I would very much like to work with the Dorsey Search Village Board and community up there to come up with and Ms. McLaughlin to come up with something that would fit in and at least bring the spirit of the of Columbia and the Village Center process to Dorsey Search.
All right, so let me try to sort of re-summarize in my head, mm-hmm. just walking in here, and I, you know, right off the bat, I think it was, you know, send something off with the B1, B2.
Well,
so on the Route 40, on the other SC property on Route 40, I just want to make sure Councilwoman Watson is okay with the B2 as we're having this discussion, or is likely okay with it. I think I am, based off of what else is there. It's surrounded by.
I don't see that it is a problem.
So okay. So then.
I think it gives the property more options.
I agree. So I just want to make sure that I wasn't, you know, heading down a way. Huh?
Part of it is vacant.
Right. I got it. I just want to make sure that was the general, you know, general thinking. Is then heading over to this one. With the other one, I'm open to whatever. If it's moving it into something, you know, if it, moving it into to B2 or redesigning RSC, I have no problem keeping a single zone. But at this point, I don't know if I want to spend much more time on it.
What I would say is
our a non-task force task force of two can yes. you know, make their.
Keep in mind though that it will end up being in District 1, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Correct.
So you two can,
I will take Ms. Siggety's opinion yes. on that yep. seriously, and then Mr. Azza, if you feel that it impacts, maybe perhaps some of the. Maybe it sets a precedent and impacts your area. You need to let me know that, too. But we can talk about it
right.
later.
Yeah. I don't see needing to actually craft it differently for this comprehensive zoning. If it just sits and stays, and it stays on the Dorsey Search Village Center, then we have opportunity to, again, go back and address some of what we heard in that previous discussion. And I think it would really go a long way to making the folks in Dorsey Search feel a whole lot more comfortable about potential in their Village Center. But yeah, we can let this one just
over
sit.
Now.
Okay. Right.
The only thing I'd add to that, and I appreciate what you're saying on that, Ms. Siggety, there may be some other, it wouldn't be any of the other Columbia villages because they all have new town zoning, so that's different, and Ms. Siggety and I and all of us work very hard on a Village Center process. But there may be some other shopping centers that maybe in the next comprehensive or have you maybe have some potential for the type of process and planning, not all of them, but there may be one or two out there that this might make sense in terms of a process of planning. Maybe those fall under CEF and they're just fine under CEF, but it's just a thought as we look at that. But I appreciate what you're saying on that.
Are we done with SC?
I think we're done with SC.
Could I recommend?
Totally done now.
Can I recommend we go to CAC?
I think a CAC would be the best thing to go to. All right, so turning to the CAC. Okay. Actually, I have a I have some information on this that I don't have with me out here. Is there another one we can...
I'm going to run and get it real quick.
I could. No, I actually don't want to. Right now.
Do you need it?
Well, we can start talking about CAC. We may have to circle back around because I have a list of my concerns, but I can't, I don't think I can access that right this second.
Do we just want to walk through it? Is that what you would like to do?
Okay, what page are we on? Because
323.
Sure. We could start with that.
Okay. The main issue really is there's some further clarification of language in B6 about drive-thrus. You saw a number of regulations, ERAs, related to drive-thrus, and we tried to make them consistent between CAC and when they would be allowed in CE or TOD. So that's what's happening in
but
number
before
6.
You get to that, I want to back up to the purpose because I think that is critical to understanding CAC as a district. It says CAC is intended to provide the development of pedestrian-oriented urban activity centers with a mix of retail, service, office, and residential uses. So that is, I think, are we changing directions on that piece?
What we are proposing is to continue to allow them to be mixed uses, having any combination of those uses, and reducing the amount that is required. When this was first crafted with the Route 1 Task Force, there was not a specific requirement of a ratio of residential to non-residential. That was added by one of the council members, or by the council members during comprehensive zoning. At the time, it didn't seem like a bad idea. But in hindsight, I think we're realizing that the market varies a great deal up and down the corridor. And we've had difficulty leasing the amount of retail space that's been required in both Ashbury Court and Patuxent Square and in Mission Place. So having a fixed mandatory requirement does not seem appropriate. Basically, developers make a lot of money off of retail, and they will build it if they can lease it. But making them build it if it can't be leased doesn't seem reasonable. I know there's been some suggestion that perhaps we just delete the reference to mixed use and just call it a retail district. But my hope is over time, as we build more both employment and residential in the corridor, as it gets redeveloped, some of the space that has already been built will succeed in being released. And if developers come in and they want to build, because at the point in time when they're ready to build, the market seems there for them to have, whether it's professional office or retail, we would like them to have the opportunity to build it. We furthermore see these as being nodes. We kind of have a little kind of in-house map in the office about where we see transit over time evolving, and you need to be able to build enough intensity of both jobs and housing and shopping to justify more transit service. So we see these as being potential hubs for
hubs
transit as well as
for residential.
Pardon?
Hubs for residential?
Hubs for transit, which would mean ideally you have employment and housing in close proximity, and whether those are on the same parcel as part of the same development or whether they're across the street from each other. But the goal would be to intensify within walking distance of some hubs so that over time we can justify more transit service. So I guess I'm hoping we can keep them as opportunities for mixed-use centers, knowing that at this point in the time market-wise, we're going to see more residential and we're going to see a limited amount of retail or office. I think if you look at Blue Stream and Howard Square, they are making such a huge change in that area, as Councilman Ball alluded to earlier. You know, when you talk to retail brokers, all they talk about is rooftops. You know, they're looking to see a certain number of bodies and cars coming and going before they can get anybody interested. And as we see the build-out of those
income
two projects,
range.
It will change.
Right, it's also in an income range as well.
Sure, yes.
It's not just
disposable income, yeah. Right. So, I mean, we are in this time where we have kind of a vision where we want Route 1 to go, and we're not there yet.
Okay,
so
how many
kind of
acres of CAC do we have that's not developed yet, a CAC?
There's very little. We've talked a little bit about the CAC on Furnace Avenue. There is part of the Elk Ridge Crossing CAC right at Montgomery Road that got started and then got stalled, and then we ended up with a financial problem and a change of partnership ownership on Elk Ridge Crossing in Elk Ridge. So it's half complete, not quite half complete.
So that's how many acres? So I'm just trying to
I don't have that in my brain. I can find that out if we're interested in acreage, and I can find out the acreage for Furnace Avenue.
So,
but that's pretty much it. There's really not a lot other than the land that's not yet built in Blue Stream and Howard Square. We have one proposal for CAC that's before you now, the Roberts property.
Which is?
The Roberts property is the one that is across from Troy Hill Business Park, just north of Belmont Station, north of Route 1.
It's before us now in what way?
It's before you as a map amendment request.
To go into CAC.
To go into CAC.
So, well, can I just ask a few questions?
Yeah, but can I just say before that, I mean, I'm looking at the map, and I see quite a number of CAC parcels in my neck of the woods that are still there and haven't been.
I'm sorry. You are. There's a stretch where Route 1 divides down in North Laurel. There are a number of small CAC properties. Some of the ones on the east side that are closer to other existing flex employment uses, we are proposing in the map amendments to go back to CE.
To go back to CE. There's one that's going back to CEC and CE and another, a bunch that are going
to
little ones to TOD.
Yeah, right. So it would really be the remaining CACs on the west side of Route 1 in North Laurel.
Okay. So if you could just get us those acreage, I think it would be helpful to know.
So we have a somewhat stalled CAC development at the intersection of Montgomery Road and Route 1.
Right.
Because of issues with the ownership.
Right. Court Although I hear rumors that there may be a contract to sell, but who knows?
There's always rumors for
yes.
that. But even in that development, we couldn't fill the commercial space requirements, right? They've had trouble doing that, right?
I think that the design of that commercial space, we learned an unfortunate factor. Originally, Route 1 buildings were drafted to be in the CAC to come like to the edge of the sidewalk, like zero setback, the edge of the right-of-way. We discovered after the building got approved by site plan and went for building permits, but didn't bother to tell us that the problem is that there's some building code prohibition that you cannot have doors open onto the sidewalk. And instead of having the doors open in, they made them get rid of the doors. So when you don't have doors actually opening onto the street and the sidewalk, it's very hard to get retail there. And so then having people come around to the back, we have since changed the setback, so now buildings have to be 10 feet back from the right-of-way so the doors can open out.
Which I understand, have they been able to fill the retail in the?
I believe they have some office in there. I don't believe it's full occupied.
Your changes to CAC, in a nutshell, would do what?
The key changes are really relatively small. There are some terminology changes to make them consistent. I think the amenity area language is being more specific about what we expect, and we have had, again, in the earliest version of CAC, there wasn't a very clear requirement for amenity areas. There was one amendment that dealt with adding that language, and we are amplifying on that to say essentially that there's a higher obligation for acreage for amenity areas for the larger CACs, with the expectation that because you have more residential units, you really need more space for families to be able to gather and to create recreational opportunities.
Okay, so
are you still going through the key changes?
Talk about what you're asking us to approve with regard to the commercial space.
The commercial space change.
It seems to me that that's not a small change.
Yes.
Okay, it's on the top of page 328. It's under new B. And the language currently says for every dwelling that is developed, 300, and we're proposing to drop it to 100 square feet of commercial space must be developed. The language then goes on currently to say the director of DPZ, however, may reduce the commercial space to requirement to 100 square feet, and we're proposing that that could go to 50.
Okay.
We talked to some people in the commercial real estate consulting business, and they were basically saying that the number was really way out of whack to start with, that typically when you're looking at new residential development, you figure 50 square feet per unit is the amount of development demand for retail that that unit creates. So 50 is probably kind of the norm, and why we ended up with 300 because it seemed like a good idea at the time.
How many?
With regard to that, did we have that problem in your area? Was that CAC in the middle between the two Route 1s?
Did we have what problem?
Not being able to fill the...
We absolutely...
Was there too much commercial space?
No. Was there a problem filling it? Yes.
And then...
Was that 300 square feet?
Yes.
But it was dropped down to 200, right?
It was not dropped down to 200 because they build under the 300.
But wait a second. Please. You said just now it wasn't too much commercial space,
right.
But you also said it wasn't filled.
That's right.
So why do you think it wasn't too much commercial
space?
Because
in my discussion with folks sort of in the retail market, et cetera, is that what – and if you look at the RCLCO study, which I have here, what they said was wrong with a commercial on Route 1 is that it was piddly – I don't think that was their term. That's not their – term, but
it's so there like were a technical term.
But I can actually, I'll find the language. But that there were piddly little bits of commercial. So what happened in the CAC in the center there is that there's really not enough commercial to attract people. It's if you think of that as a residential zone, and is this enough commercial to support the residential on that site? There's probably too much commercial for that. But I don't think that was the intent. This is, if you look back at the intent of this district, the intent is to create a mix of retail, service, office, and residential uses. The center should be located near Route 1 and close to residential communities that will benefit from a pedestrian-oriented local business area. It's a local business area. The requirements of the district Route 1, blah, 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 and then it said will result in development that will strengthen nearby communities, provide for safe and convenient pedestrian travel, and improve the streetscape of Route 1 and intersecting roads. So I think the issue there is actually I think what the decision has to be is where do we want the commercial and where do we want the residential. But if you're going to put little bits, I don't think there's anybody who would argue that putting 50 is going to attract folks from the surrounding community. Putting 50 square feet might support the people in that one building. And then you're talking about really like a little piddly convenience store that just sort of sells, you know, like you might find in a hotel, like a,
so let's
know.
Just take 100 units. If you had 100 units at 50 square feet, you'd have 5,000 square feet of retailer office,
right?
Which 5,000 square feet is the size of an average sit-down family-style restaurant.
That's it.
Just to give you an idea.
Well, that's not much.
Or a pharmacy and a dry cleaner and a nail salon. That would be 5,000 square feet.
Okay. I mean,
And okay. How big are most of these units? How big would the units be?
I mean, if you
CAC, they could be townhouses or apartments, right?
Yes.
So give me a range.
Well, if they're apartments, they could be 600, 700 square feet. And if they're townhouses, they could be 2,500,
yeah.
2,800.
The point is whether, from my perspective looking at this, the point is whether this is a residential district and that's how much commercial we need to support that residential, or whether this is, as it says in there, a local business area.
Well, I think that's...
A pedestrian and local
CAC
business.
CAC does not know what it wants to be.
Right.
And it sounds like from your perspective... You think it should be more residential?
I think what we're trying to do is not force the creation of a standard amount of commercial, which may not work in a particular location. I think part of what's difficult is we've had one here and one there, and they really need to work together. I think the intent was that there would be a unified streetscape that extended over a significant area that would then create collectively enough critical mass that it would start to create a place that would draw people. And when you have one building with not much happening for a retail and another one that's a mile and a half away, partly it's like we can't recreate all of Route 1 in a like orderly progression the way we would like to do. So we're sort of struggling with how to allow the flexibility to create retail space if they think in this particular part of the corridor it will work, but not require it if they don't.
But I guess the way I read it is we're not requiring it. We're encouraging it because we then give the director of DPZ the opportunity to reduce it to 100 feet already. So it seems...
From 100 to 50.
Right.
Well, no. Under the current
case,
right.
Current, you can already reduce it to 100.
And that's probably happened.
But the earlier ones that you're talking about, before we realized this was a problem, we're up at the 300.
But I guess I'm wondering, why do we need to
make that change?
The change that you're recommending, if you can already reduce it to 100.
I can reduce it to 100. The only reason
especially since we have another project that we've just put in CAC that doesn't have a problem with the ratio. And Normandy, right? Isn't that CSC?
No, that's TNC.
Oh, TNC, but they have a similar ratio. Yeah. It was the same ratios.
It was the same philosophy.
Same philosophy, same ratios. And there's another project that's over there that I believe the CAC under the current regs, and we asked them, we're okay with them as well.
Who was that?
That was the one with the 214 acres and the 3-acre parcel.
Roberts is proposing.
I actually got one. There we go.
Where is that?
That's the one that is before Roberts. You now to be considered for CAC. They're not CAC at this time.
In Elk Ridge, but
they're in.
I think it's your area.
They're across from Troy Hill. Yeah.
It's Calvin and I.
Fine. Yeah, okay. We share.
Right.
But I mean that one would have.
And that doesn't have. And you're saying that doesn't have a problem.
I don't think that they. No.
Well,
matter of fact,
they can go down to 100 square feet.
Right.
They're hoping to be a commercial center. I think the difference with Normandy is it has been a commercial center, and they're adding some housing. It's very different than if you haven't had a commercial destination and you're trying to create one. That's.
But I think that Roberts or whatever it is property is. You know, that doesn't exist as either, and they're looking.
They think
it.
They might be able to land a grocery store, which would make all the difference in the world.
Right.
Yeah, it's. And then you go on to say, may eliminate the commercial space requirement for a project if the site does not join the U.S. Route 1 right of way. How many of those are there?
That is the Furnace Avenue area. There are, I think there's the volleyball house. There is the property that's owned by Palacarola, and I believe there's one more parcel there.
There's several more.
So all of,
but they're small, but under ownership.
All of the Furnace Avenue is the only place where we have this.
Yes.
No.
The only place that exists right now. There
off
is
of
the
Route 1.
Crossroads. There is one of the parcels within the Crossroads assemblage that is already zoned RSA 8, and it's part of a group that would front onto Route 1, but it is not. Itself that one parcel fronting. Remember, when we get to it, I can point it out.
There's one in Calvin's district, right, as well, off of Port Capitol.
Mm-hmm.
Do you recall in the last comprehensive rezoning? Was this CAC placed on Furnace Avenue at what point in the process? Was it something you placed there?
No, it was requested by the councilman.
Was it? Later?
And it was really at the request of Hamel Builders bought the building.
Right,
and they thought that they would want to go and have a CAC, so they went in looking at.
Never happened, right?
No. What was really unfortunate is they brought in a partner to build it. They went through the review process. We actually had two rounds of reviews. There were people in Elk Ridge who kept saying, this place floods. And in looking at the floodplain analysis more carefully, it did indeed look like it was going to be flood-prone. So they backed off and dropped the whole proposal. And they're keeping their business there, but they're not developing residential.
And this other place on Route 1 is right next to the floodplain?
Next to the floodplain, but it sits. It's a different part. The Hamel property was being flooded by Deep Run.
I know.
This one is sitting adjacent to the Patapsco main stem.
How far is it from the Patapsco River?
I don't know off the top of my head.
Is it
elevation-wise, I can go find that out as well.
Close as, for example, the Savage property is we're looking at?
To the floodplain? I can find out. I've not any idea what distance-wise or elevation-wise. But we did look at the floodplain because the Palacarola one has been through and has an approved site plan. So we, having learned from Hamel that was a problem, we looked at it very carefully for floodplain.
So it's been designed right now to include the commercial space.
It is, and it was really oriented towards right along Furnace Avenue, some two-story buildings that would have an office above and a little bit of retail or maybe office below. It was more office-oriented than retail.
But it was designed with all the residential units.
Yes.
Calvin, I'm sorry, I interrupted you. Did you want to?
No, I'm just hopeful that, you keep giving some thought to this one. I know that, some of us have some concerns, and so let's keep working on this one.
Well,
Well, we certainly can keep on working on it. I'm not sure what else to give you for information. I think when we heard from the consultants that 50 square feet per household was about all one could expect.
But that's from a that's how much commercial can be supported by a residential district. That assumes that this is a residential district.
And that's it.
And, I mean, this isn't a residential district.
Right, so you can support even less.
No.
But the tendency is that the assumption is that there would be other residential areas and also employers.
Ross is saying. It's an area where there's a lot of through traffic. I think one of the things that we read at one point is it's the busiest thoroughfare or whatever.
And I'm not necessarily
cases, but not on all of it.
Right.
It varies. Based on very different properties.
Yes, I agree.
Can we just look at that for a second? If you look at that.
That's a good point, Ms. Watson. It's so many different properties.
Right. That's why I think it needs a different look at.
Yeah, I just.
I think it would make sense for us to be making decisions about whether we want that to be a commercial property, a mixed-use property, or a residential property. Not that one, but generally speaking.
I think that one makes sense as it was originally conceived.
The mixed use.
I mean, it's in the middle of that whole side of the is industrial and the volleyball house. And Mr. Fox, you go down there a lot, don't you, for the volleyball house?
And I used to go down for the soccer dome.
Can you envision that property?
not.
Sort of between the volleyball house and Furnace Inn.
Yeah, that was one we were talking about the other day. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I understand why it's tough to put commercial on that property, and I agree, but it doesn't mean I like the fact that this is a CA, that ends up being called CAC. I don't like having a zero option in a commercial zone bothers me. Now, these are zones that aren't my area, but I would think from your guys' perspective, where you have them coming along, as far as just transparency to the community and understanding that, you know, something is either really a high residential zone without commercial or whatever, that would matter.
I mean, I agree with you. I think it's more transparent. If you say CAC, it ought to have some commercial component. And so what's the answer? I think that was the property owner that came and testified at the work session or talked to us at the work session. He maintains he can't do a project there with any commercial component. I'd like you to talk to them and see if that's really the deal, because it seems to me there ought to be something they can include.
What is the density in CAC?
Can be up to 25 units per acre.
So it's is that without like RA, is that without 25?
But right, that's currently.
Wait, that it depends on the size of the property, doesn't it?
No, it's always RA 25.
Now, where is it? What page is it on?
It's on 328 at the bottom. No, that's the receiving parcel, sorry. That's the going up to 35 units.
Let's look under the bulk regulations. Usually density is the very top. Page 325?
Got it.
Okay.
Yeah, if it's near Mark, it's 50, and if it's 2 acres, it's 25. How big is the one over there?
Goes up
to 50? 50 if it's sort of like a TOD, if it's near Mark Station.
That was the one for Ashbury Court that they came in and got a ZRA approved. So it's always been 25.
Wait, it depends on the size.
2 acres.
Right. Didn't I just say that? It depends on the size, and everybody said, no.
Two acres.
Yes, right.
How big
is
this? No.
This is more than, thank you.
No, sorry, I was looking at the receiving parcel where it didn't have sizes for the 35 units.
This one is bigger than 2 acres, correct?
Yes. I believe it's 4.
And why did you put the 2 acres in there?
That was added as a ZRA by Buck. Buck owns a piece of property that's a little odd out parcel in the middle of Howard Square, and they wanted to be able to have residential, and so they came in and asked for a ZRA and it was approved.
Wait a second. They were zoned CAC?
I remember that one.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That was a while.
Although I don't see it on
I think
here,
when the CAC was placed on that property, I don't think anyone realized that there was just one little out parcel that belonged to somebody else, and they thought even
discussion.
If it did, it would get
they
bought.
And
they knew that,
but
they thought that it would
so
be
got
aggregated.
They 15 units in
yes.
there?
They did know it was there. They thought that it would lead to the
assumed,
aggregation
yeah,
of those properties.
But they wanted to go their own way.
Yeah, the other property had already aggregated.
Well, I think it was a price difference. I just think they couldn't reach agreement.
Well, and that's, I mean.
So why would it be appropriate to build 15 units an acre on 2 acres and then also appropriate to build 25 units an acre on 2.1 acres?
It was a ZRA they proposed, and it's language that's in there. I don't know that we expected that we would see many other places. Let's say, for example, on Furnace Avenue, there's one there that's 2 acres. We have not evaluated. It would basically just allow them to do something that would be less, and they probably would end up doing townhouses rather than apartment.
But on this, on any of these, as it's currently written, without your without the recommended changes, they would all require commercial as part of this.
And here's the other thing to note, is even if they're less than 2 acres, if we approve this as is, that would actually be able to bring bonus density and be able to go to 35, and even if it was 2 acres or less, it would be able to go to 35.
They can't fit it on the site.
I'm not saying that site, but in general, if you had anything, if you went high or whatever, that you still have, the way it's written, I don't know what you can fit. I have no idea, and I don't, based off the heights and everything else, but just so you know, the way you have it written right now is that it actually says it's something, even if it couldn't do 35, it could do 20 or 25.
Why do you have up to, can you ever envision a scenario if you're getting 10% because you're bringing in density, can you ever envision a scenario where you would be higher than 35 units per acre?
No, it was 10.
Higher
was
than
35?
Yes. No, the point is, why do you even have a maximum of 35? Can you even get over 35?
Well, you certainly wouldn't 10%? Do it on a two-acre site. You could conceivably, if you had a big piece, yeah, you could on a larger piece.
I think also on Friday's work session, we might want to be talking about RA25 generally.
Okay.
And that whole RA15, RA25 density issue.
Well, also, we're not talking about 10% increase. We're talking about 10 units per acre.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Ms. McLaughlin,
mm-hmm.
on
allows
the
for receiving up to 10 units per acre more, which is more like 60-some percent.
Here it says 10% more dwelling units.
That's currently what the language is.
Oh.
On the CACs that have developed,
mm-hmm.
right, the ones that you have site development plans or, you know, the ones that are
28 coordinates.
Can you tell can you tell us what densities they've reached?
Yes, I can do that.
What
time are we meeting on Friday?
Exactly. 10:30.
I will see what I can find. Yes, right. I asked Ms. McLaughlin for us to be able to actually have a discussion. I think it's important for us to know what they were able to, especially the larger ones, what they were able to
because it's hard to envision when you look at things averaged across the site. Mission Place I will look at, and also I'll look at things like Howard Square, because the buildings that are apartments, if you look at only the acreage for the apartments and maybe the open space associated with it, are pretty dense. But they have townhouses, and so they basically reduced the density on the townhouse properties and transferred some of that density into the apartments. So Mission Place is clearly going to be pretty high.
Right, but not very successful on the commercial end.
Not on the commercial.
So in the Route 1 study, though, their recommendation, I think, was to get rid of CAC. It was actually to get rid of CAC and CE and potentially replace at least some of that with a PUD, which is sort of.
Right. And we did not. We have a lot of things that are in process. We did not want to change all of the zoning. We have the CEF if people would want to use that as a.
Could CEF be used on this Furnace Avenue property?
It could be. I think what's a challenge about this property only is that they spent a lot of money on design. They hired an architect who was good at historic preservation, something that would fit into that lower Elk Ridge area. Then the economy went bad. And so starting all over again with the CEF is painful.
Okay. So they are they're in a place where they have something designed to include the commercial space.
Right, and they would have
but
to.
They can't get it financed? Is that the problem?
They've basically. I think we'll probably submit additional testimony about the trying to promote interest from retail
Great.
Brokers about can we lease it.
That's good. So why don't we look at that more tomorrow?
Okay. Friday.
Yeah,
this says actually CAC and CE along Route 1 may actually be counterproductive to its future development and positioning.
Read that sentence again.
The CAC and CE zoning district along Route 1 may actually be counterproductive to its future development and positioning.
Why?
Because they don't support the type of, basically, together or separate, they don't support the type of business infrastructure, including large format retail that may help Route 1 complete its potential future demand.
Which is why we have the CR district being proposed in the exact locations for the most part. We added things like Whiskey Bottom Road, but most of the locations are ones they suggested.
Well, and it's interestingly, this gets to the CR discussion, which I know we're not having right this second, but it's why I feel so strongly about there being some way to trade density or value of some sort, so that, because some of these places probably need to be residential and potentially more intense, and some of them need to be commercial, but taking all the commercials and converting them over to residential doesn't solve the problem that we're trying to fix, which is we want the retail, we want the commercial component along Route 1, but we want it in nodes. So my concern is that if you take CAC, it's got, I mean, to me, it's a commercial sounding district. It's business. It's called, it's a pedestrian-oriented local business area. And if you take that and you just make it residential without saying, okay, we're going to take that residential from another area that we're going to maybe concentrate the commercial, we're missing an opportunity and we're building an expectation that folks will have all residential on their property, and that's going to be hard to back away from at some point in the future.
Well, it clearly talks about an urban activity center. It doesn't necessarily say that it's a commercial center. It says an urban activity center. Clearly, we're not getting the retail that we had hoped. We also, to be clear, ended up with a lot more CACs than were originally proposed because people came in during comp zoning and asked for it, and they weren't necessarily strategically placed. They were just successful in convincing the council that it was a good idea.
So, I mean, I think, you know, we have to look at what we want to do for the time being, but it may be for a future time a conversation that there needs to be a Route 1 task force or something to really take a look at where do we want that commercial concentrated and where do we want the residential concentrated. My concern, again, is that with CAC, if we put in basically the ability to get all residential or almost no commercial, sort of a piddly piece of commercial that wouldn't ever attract any of the local residents, it's going to be very hard to come back from that because you're going to have 25, 35 units an acre there, and you're going to have to pick and choose who's not going to now have 25, 35 units an acre. We're going to just make them do commercial. There has to be some – I don't want to build that expectation that you can do this without the commercial piece of it.
Well, the CR is intended to be – the primary commercial locations. I have not fully digested the amendment that you put in where you're proposing that there would be some distinction between CACs that are residentially oriented as opposed to commercially oriented. And it might be helpful to know where you thought those
Do
might be
CAC
placed.
Do I have a CAC amendment on that? Do I have a CAC amendment on that?
She said CR.
Oh, you said CR?
I thought
she said...
You meant CR, but you said CAC.
Oh. Yeah, I'm actually want to...
She said CR.
But you were working on, I think, some of the CR, and I'm also working on it, and maybe we can get together.
Yeah, I think that would be a good idea.
Have some future conversation, because I still think, and I don't know what the process is, but some exchange where you're taking residential in certain areas on the route where we really actually want concentrated commercial and put it where it belongs... Some exchange of that in some way makes a lot of sense. I mean, otherwise, I think perpetuating the CAC, making it even more valuable retail, I mean, residentially speaking, is going to make it very hard to create commercial in those areas. And it really is a loss of commercial land from my perspective.
I don't think this one size fits all at all with CAC. Depending on where the property is, and
if you look at
that property, 70 they are approved right now under the current existing commercial space. They could build 77 units by right, as long as they provide the commercial space. If we get rid of all the commercial space, then it goes up to 112, 15, something like that.
How does
4 times 24?
100?
Or four times 25, if they went to 25, that would get you to 100.
Plus, each thing, they're a little over 4 acres. That's where you're getting that, probably.
Yeah.
They could actually go higher than that based off the proposed changes.
If we go with a 35.
Right.
Yeah. So,
or even 10%. Or if it stays at 10%, they can still go another 10%.
So I guess here's my question. In that particular area,
only
if they build 77 residential units there...
Only
it probably isn't a bad place for some residential units in Lower Elk Ridge. It would support
residential
Main Street.
Residential
retail. No, I'm saying residential. It would support Main Street. It's already approved. It's already by right. The question is, they feel they can't do the project because of the commercial space. How do we, what do we do there? Do we reduce the commercial space? Do we eliminate it? Do we, and if we eliminate it, does that mean we automatically give them the ability to do more residential? You know, I don't know. I mean, Marcia, I'm really.
Where exactly is this?
I'm not convinced on this one that we should just eliminate the commercial space and allow it to go max R25.
In this instance, looking at the larger area of Lower Elk Ridge, last time during comp zoning, we made Main Street B1 so that it would be allowed to have commercial. It has traditionally been a commercial street, but it hasn't really been a successful commercial street in many, many generations. So I guess my feeling on this particular property is if you built this as 100% residential and then those people went around the corner to Main Street to get a cup of coffee or whatever else could be supported on Main Street, probably I'd rather see the demand generated to support Main Street than to compete with Main Street.
Why couldn't they have an office? Why couldn't they have an office use there?
Well, they may be able. I mean,
I'm not saying that
prime office location.
I'm not saying it's a great place for retail. I'm just saying, is it a great place for RA-25? Is it? You think that's a good place for RA-25?
No.
Well, as I said, that wasn't originally our proposal. It was the council's proposal, and I've been working with them for a long time. Maybe I could bring the plans for Friday to show you what it looks like.
Why don't you do that?
Because I think numbers are hard to relate to. It's easier to look at a drawing and say, ooh, I hate it, or it's not so bad.
I hear you. This has nothing to do with, for me, it has nothing to do with what's right or wrong for the site. You know, you have a better idea on all that. I just have a problem if we're going to call that zone a CAC zone. So I know right now that we, you know, there was a decision not to go ahead and just say, hey, just, you know, call it A and put RE25 as an option. But I'm just curious, at this point, is RE15 or RE25 even considered substantive as a change because RE25 is basically allowed under there? It's actually less intensive of a use.
Well,
it may not be.
You know what I'm saying?
I don't disagree
Paul
with you.
Paul has opined on that numerous times.
That question off to Office of Law.
Yeah. Paul has already answered that in a number of our sessions.
What I'd like to do, Mr. Fox,
yes,
is let's look at what they have there. What I'd like to do is figure out what makes sense for that property and then figure out how we make it transparent.
Okay, and I want to look at the district as a whole as well, because until we look at where all those parcels are and how it can affect them, I have major concerns. I mean, if we're looking after it allows for going down to 50 or none at all, it also says that if you show hardship to the director of planning and zoning, did you see that part? That if you show hardship to the director of planning and zoning, you can take already existing projects and it says temporarily lease unused retail space within the development to residential tenants.
The intent was to allow Ashbury Court and Mission Place
to replace the retail.
They're built. And basically, you have probably 10-foot floor-to-ceiling height in apartments, whereas you would have 12, probably more typically 15 for retail. So they're built for the right height for retail. And the intent was if, you know, they could demonstrate that they had been trying to get leases for a significant period of time and it's been sitting vacant, they could put apartments in it, but it still would be easily converted back to retail at some point if the retail market picked up. And again, you make more rent off of retail than you do off of apartments. So they would be motivated, presumably, to convert back to retail when they could get the rent paid by legitimate retail. But it may be that, you know, given time, it's going to take a while for that market to
the other thing that it does is change the phasing. So it used to be that before no more than 50% of the residential can be built before the commercial construction, and now it says before the amenity space. So you wouldn't have to do any proportionate amount of commercial space before you got to more than 50% of the residential.
The intent was, again, to generate enough rooftops that the retail brokers would start to say, oh, there's really a lot of people here. And maybe then it would start to be viable to.
Right. I think what I have learned in this process and talking with some of the retail brokers and others is that you're not going to support this amount of retail just from that residential that's up above it. And I think that's the bottom line. The way that the zone is described, it's really supposed to be a retail center for the surrounding, a commercial center, business area for the surrounding area. So the idea isn't that, I don't think anybody ever thought the few hundred apartments in, or 100, whatever it is, 125, 140 in Ashbury Courts could possibly support that amount of retail. The idea is that that retail, or commercial, I'm mixing this up, but that use could draw in and help the neighborhood in the surrounding area that very much wants, for example, a coffee shop there. They are dying for a coffee shop right there in that location, but the problem is that it's piddly retail there, and then piddly retail. There's probably a much better planning term for that. At Ashbury, and then at Patuxent Square, and then at Mission Road, and then the potential to build a whole bunch more of those in the south end of the county along Route 1. So I think that's the problem, is that's never going to succeed. And there's no way that once some of them do all residential, the other is going to, wait a minute, I'll be the retail for that. Because it's so much more valuable at this point, and probably any point in the future, to get that many units of residential.
Well, I think one of the other things that was a problem with this is that, the consultants that we used when we first developed this as part of their original work on the Route 1 study were talking about a pretty sophisticated project where you'd have, again, first floor pedestrian retail oriented to a retail streetscape, and you know they really didn't focus on how long will it take where you've got enough projects contiguously that you've got enough critical mass. And having apartments or office on top of residential is a much more urban product. You know, they're all coming out of the D.C. area, and they're used to seeing that in Bethesda. We're not to that stage. It may be that Route 1 eventually will support that. So the language that was added that allows it to be split so that if there is a commercial component, it's horizontal. And so you have a nice little corner that sits on a corner
that's
visible.
Positive change.
I think that works a lot.
I think that works much better.
You know, it's a product that was way before its time, unfortunately.
I don't know if there's some other way to get it so, and this is my CR idea all over again, but so that you can develop, you know, this is phased so that you can only do a certain amount of this, the residential up until 50%, and then you have to do a certain percentage of commercial. Maybe that commercial can be done off-site but along Route 1 in a certain area. I mean, if they're going to actually develop that commercial. I mean, but we want the commercial to be developed. We just want it to be in the concentrated nodes that are talked about.
Which is why I guess our feeling is that by reducing the retail requirement in CAC, it's not a lot of additional area, so it's not a lot that we're reducing it, but it will drive the retail towards the CR. That's what the expectation is, rather than setting it up to compete.
You said that the CR is drafted as unlimited residential.
Well, we're going to change
really
that. We know that's going to change.
We're not going to focus on CR right now, though, right?
No, but we're going to have a conversation.
Can we finish up with CAC?
I hope Ms. Terraza and I about how to limit it.
Okay, and I have a couple other CAC concerns here somewhere.
So far, just so I'm clear on CAC current concerns, you had the purpose statement, just making sure that we're clear there. We had the amount of square feet for commercial space, the amount of residential, I guess, that could be there, and then Ms. Terraza, what other concerns?
I don't have it exactly organized the way you do, but hold on a second, let me look here.
Well, however,
I think the receiving density was obviously of concern as well.
Okay. Receiving density. What else?
The reuse of current existing retail space as residential.
Yep. Okay.
And it's not that I don't think there could be residential there. It's that it should have a related commercial project somewhere along the route. And I think there's a potential there. I don't know how exactly it works out, but I think there's a great potential there.
Other concerns?
I think in the purpose statement, I think Marsha and I spoke about, it removes, this is just a little tweak, but it removes public improvements recommended by the Route 1 Corridor Revitalization Study. And since you don't think that changes anything, I would leave it in because I think there's a lot of folks who feel like they did a lot of work on that. And if you're not changing anything there,
Well, it's just that it referenced the Route 1 manual in the first part of the sentence, which I guess we thought that was covering the issues.
So were there no public improvements recommended by the revitalization study that weren't in the manual?
Not really. I mean, it was all related to bicycle, pedestrian issues.
Yeah,
I don't think it hurts it if you want to leave it in, but we just sort of felt like it was a bit redundant.
I think folks worked hard on that and may have strong feelings.
And because we stressed and we added and read the next sentence about vehicular and pedestrian improvements that connect internally and with surrounding areas, we felt like that was the point we most wanted to make rather than being a little fuzzy about mentioning the Route 1 revitalization study, which wasn't as specific. That's
okay.
The intent.
I think from my perspective, that's enough to move on for now. Okay, so do you guys want to pause for a second here and talk about, we have another 45 minutes at least, however we want to look at that today. We have a considerable amount of other districts, zones to go through and the central, along with any remaining issues. And we had discussion, I sent out an email, I think it was Monday night after our hearing or our work session or whichever that was, asking for what additional times folks could be present. And I don't know if we want to take a look at that. We right now have scheduled to do Friday afternoon. I don't know how comfortable we are keeping staff here Friday afternoon. That has come up as a...
Well, this is Wednesday afternoon before holiday, so...
Well, I'm just bringing it up because...
Yeah.
There are some folks who may not particularly want to be here on Friday afternoon.
From a staff perspective, I think we shouldn't stay too much longer. We've asked a lot of staff, so I think we should set a hard stop. That's all I'm saying.
Today tomorrow, and Friday.
Well, I think we can set 6 as a hard stop. I mean, I think we have a number of other issues. The question is, I know Mr. Fox, I don't know if you want to look at this.
Stop at 5 on Friday.
Okay. Do you want to see the schedule? I was trying to fill it in for others because I hadn't heard from everybody.
So 10:30 to 5 on Friday?
I gave it to
Cal.
Well, are we going to go forward with 10:30 to 5 on Friday?
I'm not going to be able to stay till 5 if for the reasons I've already
stated.
Yeah,
but I don't think we all have to be here the whole time.
So I would be leaving mid-afternoon if we start at 10:30. I have some family obligations.
We can start later than that if it helps.
I have one. Great.
It doesn't really help, but thanks.
Okay. What I think we ought to figure out what works for the varying folks. I think, Greg, your issue on Friday is that you can't start till 1.
I can do some of it. I have a 10:30 call and a 12 call, so I can be there from 11 to 12. And then however long my call takes at 12, I can be. So if you guys are starting at 10:30, I'll hop in a half hour late after I'm done with my 10:30. And if I can do, if possible, it's a West Coast call, see if I can't move it earlier. And then I'm good until 5.
Okay. And, Courtney, you have 10:30 to mid-afternoon. Any sense of what time that is?
Any sense of what time mid-afternoon is?
Yeah. I'm just trying to understand what time.
Sometime between 1:30 and 3:30.
I'm on that same train.
Okay. So we could perhaps set a 3:30 stop time? What about you, Ms. Sagety?
That works. Yes. I'm flexible on Friday. I have no hard appointments on Friday. I can move everything around.
You do have a brain, though, that needs to be rested.
A what?
A brain.
Oh, brain.
Mine's fried.
Yeah, just...
Okay. Do you want to look at any of these other dates? We did not hear back from everyone.
So it's 10:30 to 3:30?
Do you want to do a hard stop, Ms. Siggity, or do you want to see how we're doing? I guess there'll be 3 of us at that point. And the question is, do we want to keep staff here later than that, and do we want
to... 10:30 to 3:30 is 6 hours,
no,
I think.
No, it's 5 hours.
Is it only 5?
It's 5 hours.
Well, you see, I told you.
My brain needs a rest.
Is Dr. Tolliver, is she here?
Yeah, she's here.
Is she under the table?
Yeah.
I guess what I wanted to ask her is whether we're bringing people in on the holiday weekend that weren't scheduled to be in.
Well, we can ask her when she
comes back.
I really
don't want to do that.
I think Mr. Wimberly may have been one of those people, and maybe Ms. McLaughlin.
Ms. McLaughlin.
Resigned. I'm fine.
You what?
Not resigned.
Not a long time ago.
So I think we're at 10:30 to 3:30 on Friday.
Okay. Do you want to look at Monday? Let's look real quickly at these. Monday the 15th, we start at 3:30. I don't know if we want to have any other work session before then. And whether
No.
Not able to do that with my current job.
I also think our public hearing that night could potentially go quite long.
Okay. Yes.
Well, let's hope not.
Just said it could potentially.
Let's all work towards not having it go extra long.
Okay. So then Tuesday the 16th, we have a 6:30 hearing. I'm available anytime before that, too.
So hold on. We're getting rid of the 15th early? And the only reason I say
we're
that is
starting at 3:30.
Oh, 3:30.
We're still doing the hearing at 3:30.
Okay.
But the question was, do we want to start before then?
Oh, God, no. All right. Sorry. I missed that. I didn't realize. I thought you were talking about just that.
I think we're set on Monday and Tuesday.
Wait, you don't want to start earlier on Tuesday in terms of work
session?
Not
able to do that. Sorry. But you guys can go ahead if
on Tuesday.
Well, what's the availability of other folks on Tuesday?
Tuesday.
I answered the email. We're taking up valuable work session time because three people here did not answer the email. Just so you know. And if we would answer our emails on scheduling,
we wouldn't have to have
30-minute conversations during a work session.
I didn't see it, but okay.
I answered to Sheila. There was a bunch of them that I answered.
Okay. I don't.
Well, she kept sending other ones.
So I think we're set on Monday and Tuesday.
Okay, so nobody else wants to start early on Tuesday.
What time does it start on Tuesday?
6:30.
Yeah, I'll probably be running a little bit late anyway on Tuesday.
So it was sound to Mary Kay and Calvin, and you're saying no.
I'll be coming late as it is. I'll be getting there between 7:30 and 8.
So. Okay. So what about Wednesday? Courtney, you have 7 a.m. is what you wrote.
Yeah, so because I'm not able to fit these things in, as we've taken out so much time out of work for my private sector job, I'm willing to come in at 7 and try to do like a 7 to 9 type thing if other people can do that, but not everyone can do that.
7 to 9 and then 4 o'clock again?
Wednesday is, for whatever reason, a good day for me. I'm not exactly sure why.
Okay.
I can be flexible on Wednesday. I think I said that the other day.
You can't do Wednesday?
I can't do Wednesday at 7, but I can do other times.
At 7 a.m. or 7? Or
we already have 4.
Yeah, I've got it held.
Four. Okay, but
and
the
I
point
can come in earlier in the afternoon.
Yeah,
but
I've
I
got
cannot
4.
Possibly.
So do we want to start at 3?
I was just trying to.
Okay, I don't think Ms. Watson can come earlier that day.
I can definitely do 4 until whenever on Wednesday.
Are we sure we need more time than
we
already have?
Well, I'm just responding to the concern Monday evening that folks thought there might be.
I don't think we need more time, but
the only thing I would say is we don't know what's going to happen after we have the hearing on the 16th.
We don't.
So it seems
that's what we don't know.
Yeah. So anyway, where are we?
We're on Wednesday.
So we're not going to start early on Wednesday?
We can start
whenever.
When do you want to start?
Start before 4. But if you want to start without me, you can.
I can start whenever on Wednesday.
Okay. What are the other two would like to do on Wednesday?
I told you I was available. Tell me what I'm doing.
What do we have issues or?
Okay.
I mean, having hundreds of hours of work sessions.
In my experience as chair so far, it is harder to get things on the schedule than it is to remove them. So I thought, given that we have a hard deadline of July 25th, that we would want to look to, and that people expressed Monday evening the desire to have more work session time.
What I would do with Wednesday, if I were you, is if people are available at 1 or 2, I would say tentative 1 to 4 edition.
Okay.
And then we make a decision then, do we have to use that time? Because if we do, we'll have a few of us. But you could just do it that way, tentative.
Okay. Thursday, I'm not sure I understand my note.
Thursday, the problem
I think that's a wrong. That's actually a mistake. It should say 8:30 to
11:30. This is a.m., right?
Correct.
Yes. I think that's what you guys decided the other.
8:30 to 11:30.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Does anybody want to tentatively stay longer than that? Okay.
No.
I'm just saying that we may, after we get to the hearings, have more to discuss because we have amendments.
It's true, but you know the other thing is we can work on things individually and bring them to the council as a whole.
That's a great idea.
And as we go through these, we may want to do that. We may want to assign an expert on CAC, for example, to fix CAC.
Is anybody else willing to hold some time after 11:30 on Thursday?
After 11:30.
Thursday the 18th.
I'm a no.
Okay.
I can hold it if we need it.
Why don't we hold that tentatively? Can you do that, Mary Kay?
I might be able to do until 12 or 12:30 on that day, maybe.
Okay.
I'm somehow not seeing all
my
calendars.
So let's just keep that as tentative. Monday the 22nd, we have a legislative session. No, I think that was changed. What do we have?
We have a legislative work session.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep. Depends.
Given the pre-file is on the 23rd.
Is it this? What this is?
Yes,
that's what this is.
So given that, can we add any comp zoning open issues to the end of that?
Absolutely.
I mean, my gut is that other than the current tabled bill that we're...
That's what we're going to be working on.
The current tabled bill, and then we'll probably be tabling another bill and not dealing with it necessarily this month.
What, stormwater?
Yeah, would be my gut.
Huh?
Mm-hmm. I'm just...
Okay.
Unless necessarily, but...
Huh?
I don't know if that's the case. I don't know if that's the case.
Okay. All right.
Anyway, we're going to add that at the end. I'll go through these in a second.
Just a lot of stuff to get through.
I agree.
That's the only reason.
Well, I'd like to see us... Yeah.
Okay, Tuesday the 23rd.
Just trying to be realistic.
Tuesday the 23rd is pre-file. My thought would be it'd be a hard day for staff. But I don't know if after, maybe 2 hours after pre-file. I don't know how that would work for you.
It depends on how. Yeah, that'd be great.
Would anybody like to have works?
Exactly. Right.
I come back earlier.
So is that
we should avoid trying to wait until the last minute. Yeah. That's a great idea.
Okay. So. So we could theoretically meet Tuesday at 4. Anyone? Because we're going to need to go through the pre-filed amendments. There's going to be a lot of them.
I'm good on the Tuesday.
Anybody else want to do 4 p.m. on Tuesday?
Good.
To discuss those.
Discuss what? Because at that point, will we even have the amendments?
Yeah. Printed. They won't be online, but they'll be printed.
Will they? Because we often have more. It takes,
yeah,
often
had,
takes
more
than 2 hours.
We had some.
First set of them, and then we can work on the second set.
Remember, we just had a work session over amendments, and we had some challenges.
Time, yeah.
Right, but we did get them, and
but
we
wait,
were able to
why,
get them.
Why do we need more than Wednesday 7:24 at 3? I mean, at that point, everything's pre-filed. We're going to be just going through the pre-filed amendments.
Because you could have amendments to amendments, and so the staff doesn't go nuts on Wednesday night,
right.
Thursday morning.
Yeah, but remember,
that would be the only...
But the challenge is, when we have work sessions, we have staff in our work sessions. So the people here now... Can't
look,
work
I'm
during
fine,
our work
I'm
session.
I'm fine putting it down as tentative.
Okay. How about you, Ms. Siggity?
I'm fine.
Okay.
I'm going to be shooting myself by the
then
end.
Then Wednesday, we're not going to... You don't want to start any earlier than 3 on Wednesday. Is that the case?
Whenever for me.
Look, I'm trying to reserve some time there for myself as a council member to review them individually. Mm-hmm. If I'm with you guys the whole time...
That's what Saturdays and Sundays are for.
Well,
we
true, but we won't have the file by then.
There it is the problem.
Yeah, so I think
make
I'm flexible
the
on that day. If there's a reason for 5 of us to be together, I can be flexible.
Okay. So, go ahead.
I was going to say, I have flexibility as well.
Okay.
I would like the opportunity to be able to think.
Yeah,
that would be
ask
nice.
Ask people questions about things that they've done...
Right.
But I need time to think.
Yeah.
That's
so I guess the question is, Wouldn't it be better if we were ending before midnight then and starting earlier?
Why? So we can think at midnight?
I was saying before that. I mean,
I think there's a differing philosophy emerging about taking some time to reflect on our own outside of a work session on everything.
I am flexible.
And just having hundreds of hours of work sessions.
Okay.
I think if we get to the point where we need to be together, we'll make it happen.
Right. Okay.
I think we just need to get to 100 hours.
We're only about 10 away now.
I'm far. Okay, so you missed the beginning when I said I thought Sheila should add up all that. Well, how many work sessions we have. We're here for our 18th work session. Okay, so Friday what we have, Sheila, is 10:30 to 3:30. Because I don't think you were here when we had that conversation. Wednesday the 17th, and actually, Marcia, you should pipe in with any of these that you're not available for.
Just send you an email.
Yeah.
Okay. Friday, 10:30 to 3:30. Then Wednesday, the 17th, a tentative at 1 p.m.
That would be you.
Just to start 3 hours earlier, possibly. Tentative, staying over a little bit on the on Thursday from 11:30, staying a bit later. Thursday, the 18th. The 22nd. We're going to add comp zoning to after the legislative work session for whatever that's worth.
I'm going to be in a parade tomorrow.
Yes, I think many of us are. Okay. Do you have that? Then Tuesday the 23rd, I have tentative 4 p.m. And Wednesday, everyone said flexible.
That's not helpful.
Wednesday, okay. So what else are we hope to accomplish now? Are we...
Let's set up tomorrow's agenda, why don't we?
Friday's agenda?
Yes.
You need your microphone. Wait, I don't think I could hear you. Can you say that again?
I heard I heard earlier in the conversation conditional use RA-25 and RA-15.
So I've been very quiet in asking for things. And since Mr. Fox will be able to be here on Friday, I would very much like us to spend time on the BRX and on the map amendments related to Highland.
The Pres Parcel stuff.
And
Preservation Parcel.
Right. We've had some testimony on farming. We're starting to get some stuff coming in. I would like us not to do that on Friday, but I would like us to do it when we come back together after next week, I think, so that everybody here knows I sent Ms. McLaughlin and Mr. Johnson the long email that we got from Susan Gray about farming, asking them to look into it and be able to come back and talk with us about it. So, but I want to make sure that we're looking at that one very seriously as well.
The comments that she made the other night about there being additional uses on Pres parcels.
No. That one.
That's part of it. This is a new one that I haven't even read yet.
I think a few of us
it's
sent
about
you.
Not being able to keep horses, sufficient numbers of horses. And
yeah, it's going to have to do with the residential, the animal units and other things. But I sent that to you today. I'm sure you didn't get a chance to look at it. I'd like us to be able to do that after Ms. McLaughlin's had time to look at it as well as Mr. Johnson's had time to look
and
at it.
And I would say that if there is a desire to do a work session next week and you wanted to take up BR, BRX, and maps related to Highland and Pres parcels, I would be okay with that.
Oh, I won't be here because remember, when you were on vacation, I decided that's when I scheduled my business trip. So
okay,
exactly. So I would like to do those on Friday.
Okay.
Do the farming then on Wednesday, the 17th, because you are getting a number of calls now that Susan's treatise has gone out.
Correct.
Has been very broadly distributed by the agricultural community and organizations, and so you're getting a lot of calls about it. And I know people are going to want to know when you're working on it.
Exactly.
Could you possibly give us a copy of that at our desk on Friday?
You got it by email.
Yeah. If you could just leave us a copy of that.
Could we just quickly run through, finish up agenda for Friday?
Conditional use, BRX.
Yeah.
Where's the ones from?
So what time are you guys leaving?
I want the R25 on it as well.
No, Friday. You're leaving R25. At what time on Friday?
3:30.
Yes, because
although we already put a hard.
Oh, well, that was everybody. I thought you were leaving earlier.
Until we do R25.
3:30?
Yeah.
And Courtney, are you leaving earlier on Friday than 3:30?
I don't know yet.
We need to
schedule things.
Okay. So I was going to say, if we, regardless of where we're at, at 1 o'clock, what we may want to do, since the thing that matters, I think, to all five of us, and we know that all five of us will be there at 1 o'clock, is to plan on conditional use at 1 o'clock and work around the other stuff.
Makes sense.
You know,
to
do other things that maybe I don't care about when I'm in and out in the morning, especially from 12 to 1.
I think we need to talk about R25 as a group.
We also need to talk about CR, but I mean.
We also need.
We may need some time to look at CR.
That could be done.
That could be done after.
Without me, yeah, you can do that. 12 to 1.
Would be. Yeah, I mean,
but conditional use at 1.
I think conditional use.
We may look at CR next.
And that way, Courtney, after we're done with that, if you need to leave,
then you can do BRX.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. That's an excellent idea.
And I'll try to move my 10:30 a half hour earlier, so that I can be there from 10:30 until noon, and do some of the other ones.
Okay. There are other. Can we look at the? First of all, other map amendments in the central and anywhere else. I thought you had some. Do we already do all the central ones, or there's a number other than Highland?
What I would suggest on that. Here's what I suggest on that.
We have Hadnot, Maplemont, all those others.
Any map amendment that any one of us want to discuss that we feel is open, I think we ought to email Sheila a list and let her put together a list. So that we can, you know, so if people want to talk about Hadnot, people want to talk about Maple Lawn, we make a list and we set it up on the agenda that way.
Are you suggesting sending those to her today so she can send those out, or what's your suggestion in terms of?
Do you think we have room for those on Friday?
No.
I don't know because I can't see.
Well, I think if you think we have room for any of them.
We do not have room for any of those.
Especially if you want to be able to leave.
Yeah, I mean, we've got 5 hours. What we have already.
Yeah.
But we could. Hold on a second. A lot of those are Muskogee's district, so I want to make sure she's okay with us putting off. We thoroughly reviewed those in other districts. Are you okay with us putting that off till whatever the next one is we have?
I believe that what I have said is I have two parcels that are dependent on RA-25. We have got to discuss RA-25.
And we have on the agenda for tomorrow.
And that's on the agenda for Friday.
Exactly. I have.
Does this help?
Highland.
No, wait a minute.
Highland's already on Friday.
Highland's on for Friday.
And BRX is already on there.
And we have. I have a few others that when we went through them originally, there didn't seem to be any questions on them. So I don't need to bring them up except to touch base again to just say, okay, last time we said we didn't see any problems here. Are we see it? Has anything come up? I don't need to do them, but I'm particularly really need to pay attention to the BRX.
Sounds good.
And you wanted to do that tomorrow, or you want to wait till the 17th?
Friday.
I want to do that when Mr. Fox is guaranteed here.
Yeah, I think Friday we've already agreed.
BRX.
Yeah, BRX, RA-25 conditional use.
Right.
I thought she was
going
to the other ones.
And Highland.
Okay.
Yes,
Highland.
I'm sorry.
We already said that. And then you guys were talking about potentially doing CR from 12 to 1.
Yeah.
Right?
If
is that what you said?
I just don't know if we'll have time, but yeah.
Yeah, I think we'll have time.
Then we have a list of all of the zoning districts, I guess from the zoning code, of all the things that were left open. And I don't know if it's worth just sort of going through. There's some things that we haven't gotten to. We haven't gotten to, after conditional uses, we didn't get to, did we get to temporary uses? I don't know. But we didn't get to off-street parking, and I think we need to talk about that. So I would add off-street parking. I don't know if outdoor lighting is one we want to look at or not. I haven't, certainly worth at least having. Okay, and then we can review that briefly. The other ones, we had definitions that we need to get back to, but I guess we can do this in the context of conditional use, such as animal unit, cemeteries and mortuaries, chicken keeping, CSAs, farm tenant houses, flex space we did today, home-based contractors. I have optional design project that's in relation to a CR. I think CR. They're all blurring together for me. I also noted pawn shops. I have a question about that, so if we want to add that in the definition section, we'll get to that at some point. RCRRDEO, are we done with those?
What was that?
RRRCDEO.
I have amendments on them.
Okay. We didn't get to I, the institutional. Do we need to get to that? Did we get to I? We did I.
No, not really. I mean, it's a question of whether we keep it or not. Now that Woodmont is withdrawn, it's the same thing we've had the conversation about SC. We really only own two, or we only have two of them mapped. And
okay.
One is the Y, and one is veterans. Veterans can be anything it wants to because it's government use. So it's really a question of the Y.
Okay, and CCT, is that something we need to look at all?
Yes.
So add CCT. What about POR?
Right, Councilwoman Sigourney, CCT. Yes, on a couple of fronts.
Possibly, but we can bring that up. Actually, that becomes part of the BRX and the Highlands
discussion.
Okay,
well.
So add CCT. Just going through my list, POR.
I think we went through that. The main change was for
POR?
Merit.
Yes, we're finished with POR.
Okay. CEF, we have amendments that we'll discuss. CR, we're going to get to. PSC, I think we haven't done, so that we should add that. I don't know if we want to get to TOD. But did we already talk about TOD briefly?
Not really. I mean, that's been amended
okay,
a number of times, so it's very minor changes.
Okay, so add TOD. I think we did TNC last time, and the rest of them I think we have done. Okay? Anything else, guys? Are we ending here?
I think you already lost us.
I think we all need to go home. I think we need to thank Ms. McLaughlin for spending time with us this afternoon. Thank
yes.
you very much.
And our staff as well, because it's...
Say anybody who's here.
Everybody is here.
Well, I would really want to say...
You're in the building.
And, right. And the other thing is I want to say is have fun tomorrow.
Oh, I was going to take all these books home, but all day tomorrow I'm busy. All day tomorrow night I'm busy.
There's something called the internet. There's something called the internet. You can check a lot of the stuff there. If you.
Yeah, I
if you.